before 7 p.m. Please rise for the invocation and the pledge. Dear Lord, we come to you this hour asking for your blessing. And help us as we gather together. We pray for guidance in matters at hand and ask that you would clearly show us how to conduct our work with professionalism, a spirit of joy, and enthusiasm. Give us the desire to find the ways to excel in our work that we have been elected to do. Help us work together and encourage each other and our community to excellence. Amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The City of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our community in a fiscally responsible manner. City Secretary, please call roll.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant.
Here.
Councilmember Dodd.
Here.
Councilmember Valdez.
Here.
Councilmember Dyer.
Here.
Councilmember Street.
Here.
Councilmember Martin.
Here.
Mayor Aldridge.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay. Moving on. At our last meeting, we had an incident that I just want to kind of clear up. Section 23 in Robert's Rules discusses points of order. And in the first paragraph, that section says that only a member of the government body can call a point of order. And after the portion of citizens' participation, if there is an individual that is being disruptive during this meeting, you will be asked to leave. Thank you. We will now move on to citizen participation. First up, we have Estrella Martinez at the Monroe Project.
I'll leave.
Okay. Mrs. Mann.
Hello, Madam Mayor, Council, persons. My name is Patricia Mann, 5518 Harris. I'm just up here to give a great big thank you to our Kirby Police Department. My husband's truck got stolen the other day, and Officer Lewis and Officer Skurlock were so helpful. I mean, they really calmed Craig down, my husband, and then Officer Skurlock stayed with us to make sure we got our truck back. Like I was telling Chief, if we were in San Antonio, it probably would still be an impound. We wouldn't even know about it. But they were on it right away, and we got it back the same evening. It was just a couple hours. So I want to thank them for that. And I also want to do more to promote our community having our own police department. That is a big plus that we're not spreading the word on that. We should tout that. We should bring it to the forefront. Maybe when we redo the website, we have our own police department because that sets us apart and it makes us more safe. I just want to thank the officers again. Thank you all. I don't know everybody's name, but I know a lot of you. And it makes me feel so good to have that connection with you guys. And now I'll move on to my second point, which was the town hall meeting. I really enjoyed it. Thank you, Ms. Street and Mr. Martin, council persons. I got a lot out of it. I'm sure other people did too. I don't know if it's going to be every other month event or quarterly event, but it did bring out people that wouldn't ordinarily come to these meetings, and a lot was discussed. And one thing that I liked hearing about, and I'm not the only one that brought this up, but possibly getting a part-time grant writer that could get out there and look for grants and gather them and the information. maybe a part-time person to relieve some of the burden off of Patty and Monique. It doesn't have to be full-time, or it could be, per grant we can pay them, or maybe there's even a grant for somebody. Kirby is so diverse. I'm sure there's a lot of things out there that we can apply for, and we just need to get access to it. I would like to see that, and I hope someone on the council champions that and moves that forward. Maybe Ms. Three, we spoke about it at town hall, and other people there also was talking about that. So I thank you all for your time, and have a great night.
Thank you, Mrs. Bam. I'm glad you got your truck. Yes. Moving on to 6A and B, consideration of action on minutes for special meeting and regular meeting minutes for July 8th of 2021. Entertaining a motion.
Mayor, I make a motion that we accept the special meeting and regular meeting minutes of July 8th, 2021.
We have a motion on the table by Councilmember Apodaca, seconded by Councilmember Street, to accept the meeting minutes for the special meeting minutes and the regular meeting minutes of July 8th, 2021. If everybody is in agreement, raise your right hand. Minutes passed. We will now move on to 7A, recognition of municipal court clerk.
Okay. So I'm going to ask our court clerk, Marcus Gonzalez, to come up.
He's back there in the back.
And what we wanted to do is just to give you a little bit of history on this. So the city of Kirby, you know, we run our municipal court here, and we're required to have a judge, a prosecutor, and a municipal court clerk. And really, in the state of Texas, you should have a certified municipal court clerk. The city of Kirby historically had never had a certified court clerk. A couple of mayors back, I was asked to focus on getting our court clerk certified. So the first court clerk that we certified was Michelle Hinojosa, who she actually did so well here and went on. She's now in the city of Garden Ridge. We brought in Marcus, and what's great about Marcus is that he's not even been here a year. Marcus was hired on August 10th of 2020 as our court clerk. He began pursuing his level one court clerk certification immediately by becoming registered with the Texas Municipal Courts Education Center, which is TMCEC. Completion of the program requires 40 hours of approved education and testing. Marcus tested and passed on May 21st of 2021, and he became a certified court clerk level one on June 14th of 2021. So he now makes Kirby's second certified municipal court clerk in our history, which is great, and he did it faster than our first court clerk. When he was hired, he was told he had 2 years to get that. So we're very proud of him. We wanted to publicly recognize him for that. So I'm going to ask everybody to
job well done. 7B, Bexar County Economic and Community Development Resource, Joe Estrada.
Good evening, Mayor, Council members. Thank you for having us. We wanted to come and talk a little bit about the resources that we have at our Economic and Community Development Department. So we do have a Community Resource Division and a Community Development Division. And we currently have a lot of funding for utility assistance and rental assistance for residents that live out in the Bexar County zone outside of the city of San Antonio and are renters and earn 80% or less of AMI. We have also several programs for utility assistance, and we want to make sure that our constituents are aware of the resources that are out there, especially with the lifting of the moratorium that's coming up for rental assistance, and we know that CPS Energy and SAWS are working towards lifting their moratoriums, possibly in the fall. So we want to let you know what our resources are, how you can qualify, and also that we're available to come out to any of, you know, public entities that would like, if you have a resource fair, a town hall, things like that, we can send intake workers out with the iPads and take applications right then and there. So we're trying to get boots on the ground, people out to help in the community as much as we can. So in order to qualify for utility assistance, you have to either earn, we have two different programs. One of them is 125 or below the federal poverty level, and the other one is 150. So then we also have, we just got another grant from the Treasury that provides rental assistance and utility assistance for 50% or 80% or less of the AMI. So right now, we have not seen a lot of our constituents that normally come in to start applying for assistance. So we want to urge you to, you know, if you can, let your community know. And we can, you know, like I said, provide outreach resources. As you can see, we have the number for Andrew Vega. He's our outreach coordinator right now. And that's a sample calendar. This is July, and it's, you know, filling up fast. So we have people boots on the ground out. We also have a community development department that administers our emergency solutions grant, and Robert Reyna oversees that. So I'm going to let him talk a little bit about that. But at the end of the presentation, my QR code is on there. You guys can scan it, and you will have my contact information. And just email me if you have any questions, or if you want somebody to come out and take applications at any of your events. So,
my name is Robert Rain. I work for the Bexar County Economic and Community Development Department, and we administer three grants through the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, one of which is a community development block grant, which we use to reconstruct many of the streets in the city of Kirby. So on the 13th, we approved a $300,000 allocation for the Alan Shepard Street Reconstruction Project. And so we've been working very closely with Ms. Monique Vernon, and she's been wonderful to work with. But there is no shortage of resources available. These grants are broad and wide-ranging, and so if you have a proposal, feel free to reach out to Monique Vernon, and we can bring some of these projects to fruition. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. I'm glad you said there's a lot out there, because we're going to be using them.
That's right.
Thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you.
Moving on to 7C, badge pinning and swearing in of main police officers.
I'd like to present to council our newest member, Justin Lopez. He has not even hit the road just yet. It's only been about 2 weeks. He's about to hit the road tomorrow after this pinning ceremony. Justin Lopez, you are here today to accept the position as a law enforcement professional in the city of Kirby. This choice comes from a place of selflessness, commitment, and courage. Your career is going to lead you into beautiful but also dark places. It is a reality that humanity does not understand, see, or understand. Regardless, you have chosen to undertake this challenge. You will be called upon to do the unthinkable, and you are placing your life down not only for the community you're swearing to protect, but also your new family. The PD pin, which is about to be placed on the right side of your collar, will represent your commitment, an honorable commitment to serve this community with the utmost integrity. You are choosing to be fair and just in every decision that you make, regardless of the opposition. to protect your community regardless of their feelings towards you. You will provide professionalism even during the hardest of times. You will be met with hardships, disagreements, and disdain. You will comfort family members after loved one has passed away and yet go home proud of the kindness you provided them. The PD pin being placed on the left side of your collar will represent your courage. The courage to face your fears and courage to know the difference between what you can and cannot control. You will save a life or many lives in your career, and no one but your team will know. The cape you wear will be unseen and unnoticed. The courage to run into darkness when everyone else is running from it. You will meet fear, and you will have to dig deep to accomplish the goal, which ultimately is to go home to your family. Finally, the badge. The badge is being placed on his chest by his wife. The badge on the left side of your uniform, also known as the shield, which represents your morals, values, and most of all, your heart. The coat of arms identified the knight's allegiance to his royal leaders as well as to chivalry and justice. I quote, "Put on the full armor so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. With all this, take up the shield of faith." The shield will give you power, authority, and it will give you strength. Your duty is to remember where you came from, to stay humble and respectful, and never betray your badge. Uphold your integrity, character, and most of all, keep the public's trust. To hold yourself accountable for your own actions and uphold the Constitution of the United States and the laws of the state of Texas. Officer Lopez, welcome to the Kirby Police Department, and we accept you with open arms. Ms. Hattie, can you swear in?
Agenda item 8A, discussion and possible action on Ackerman Road project plan and sewer repairs, M&S Engineering.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. That's going to be tough to follow, but I'll do my best. So staff has asked me to update you. I understand there's a few new council members that might not be quite familiar with the Ackerman Road project. So what I'll do is give you a brief summary of what the plan is there. Hopefully in support of action by council to approve the project to go to bid. So officially the project is the phase two of the 2018 street reconstruction bond. We refer to it as Ackerman Road, but there are more streets involved than just Ackerman. The bulk of the project will be pavement improvements, road street reconstruction along Ackerman Road, storm drainage, new sidewalks, bike paths. We're going to make some repairs to the sanitary sewer main along Ackerman Road, but we'll also be affecting Gibbs Sprawl, which is the extension of Ackerman, Cinderella Street, Taub Road. Did I say that right? Taub? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Sparkling Lane, Hedwig, and Bauman. Those are the streets involved in the program. I've included a graphic here that may be kind of hard to see for everybody, so I'll explain as well as I can. That is a kind of a mock-up of the road section of Ackerman Road at the completion of the project. It will include one 11.5-foot drive lane in each direction with 6-foot bike lanes on either side of those drive lanes. Curb, of course, and 5-foot sidewalks on either side to be compliant with ADA requirements. Then, of course, where necessary, there will be turn lanes and that kind of thing, too. But generally speaking, 11.5-foot lanes either way. I'm sorry, that wasn't very we developed the design of the project in conjunction with several entities here. First and foremost, of course, the Public Works Department of the city. We got a lot of valuable input from the Police Department, the Fire Department. CPS Energy is also, as part of this project, going to be relocating one of their gas mains. They're joint bidding, which means that CPS is going to be responsible for their work. We're just going to contract it all together. So they'll be paying for that part on their own. But to make it more efficient, we're contracting alongside them for that relocation. VIA has bus stops along Ackerman Road, so we're going to be improving in front of the bus stops concrete pads that will help prolong the pavement life of Ackerman when those big buses pull up and stop, and it has a tendency to degrade pavement over time. So they'll have 10-inch thick concrete pad in front of the bus stops there to help that pavement stay viable. Judson ISD, we talked to them about their bus routes when school starts, because we're going to be affecting a lot of traffic in the area, and we want to make sure that that they're taken care of and aware of what's going on. And of course, the Postal Service and other entities around. So all of those have kind of combined to help to get to the product where we are today, and I think that will benefit the product in the end for sure, and the city. So, kind of maybe the I don't want to say hot button, but a really important thing for this whole project is traffic control and how we're going to detour traffic and those kind of things. So, what we're proposing to do is basically split the project into 4 stages. And I have maps here in a little bit that'll kind of give an idea of that. And within each stage along Ackerman Road, we plan to shut down half of Ackerman and leave one way open unimpeded all the time. So when the shutdown part is finished, we'll just flip over and do the other side, and then they can be joined up. So local traffic will always be able to move. There will of course be some inconvenience for traffic, but that's with any road construction job. Access to residences and businesses along Ackerman and the side streets will remain open at all times. The contractor will have to honor that. That's a very important piece of this, just maintaining access. We do have a detour plan for kind of non-local traffic or larger trucks, and I'll show that in a minute. It looks a little wild, and I'll be happy to explain it to you, but there's some sound reasoning behind it. And I have here listed also, and back to the kind of the coordination deal, we're not going to be disrupting emergency services. The police station will be unimpeded in front. The police station will have their access, fire department, EMS, all these things will be operating as normal. So if you look at the next page, this is kind of an overall view of the city, and the boxes down at the bottom there show how we split up Ackerman Road. But what I want to call your attention to is that green line that you'll see, and that's kind of the main detour line to keep people off of Old Seguin Road, because Old Seguin is going to go through the project, and that's a pretty heavily traveled street. That line that goes from Old Seguin up there, if y'all can see it, and kind of winds through, that's really for those that may be traveling through Kirby that aren't familiar with the city and don't know shortcuts or, you know, ways around the construction. This will be a clearly marked detour path off of Old Seguin Road and 78 to get to the unimpeded part of Ackerman, the part that's not under construction, west of Ben Zingelman. So that detour is not so much for the local traffic around Ackerman specifically, it's for those that are going through the city that normally would take Old Seguin or 78 into Ackerman Road, just to kind of keep some of that traffic off of the construction area. So the first stage of the project is, like I said, from just west of Ben Zingelman to almost, I think that's tall, it's too small for me, past Cinderella. So I included these kind of for everybody's information just to see where we're splitting the project up. This just shows one half of the road being open, but of course, like I said earlier, we'll flip it over when that half is completed. The second piece of the project extends from Taub to almost Harris, and then up Sparkling Lane and down Taub. So that one's got quite a bit of work going on up the side streets. There will be some drainage improvements along the side streets as well. We've got to make a few little changes there to make the drainage on Ackerman Road work. So expect a little bit of work on those side streets too. It's not just Ackerman Road. And the last two, they're kind of combined on one map. But so basically, stage three is going to stop at Old Seguin Road. We're not constructing across Old Seguin Road, so that one will be open at all times. The Ackerman project will stop there and then pick up as Gibbs Sprawl on the other side of Old Seguin Road in stage four, which also includes Hedwig and Bauman around the City Hall block here. Also, originally when the project was scoped with the city and through the bond program, sanitary sewer improvements were not included in the original scoping. However, the city had, through their normal course of inspection of the sewer lines, totalizing the lines and those kind of things, identified some issues on the sewer line on Ackerman specifically. The sewer main is old clay pipe, so you know over time that clay pipe stops holding up. So there's some places where that line needs to be repaired. There's a few low spots in the line where you know ground has subsided a little bit, and there's actually a belly in the line. So on a gravity sewer line, they may not work very well if it's got to kind of go back uphill. So those kind of places were identified, and we've worked with staff to put those in the project. We put together a few options, for council consideration, frankly, kind of three levels of involvement is probably a good word, levels of repair to address those situations. And also, I don't want to gloss over, along with the line issues that were discovered, the manholes, while they're still viable, they're old too. They could use some rehabilitation. We're not necessarily suggesting new manholes, but we can recoat them, rehabilitate them to extend their useful life and to keep future repairs at bay for a good while. So the three options that we've put together for the sanitary sewer improvements, option one being basically point repairs. We know where the issues are in the main. While the street is cut open for repair or for reconstruction, we can get to the sewer main, replace the length of damaged pipe that we need to do, and then rehabilitate the manholes. We put an estimated cost together for that of $185,000. And I've got those listed there so we can refer back to them. The second option would be what's called slip line, the existing sewer main, which is basically you're replacing the line in place, such as cast in place or cured in place. There's no trenching to it. You insert the material there, you hydrate it, and it forms around the pipe, basically replacing the existing pipe. plus side of that is you're not disturbing the ground. You're not open cutting. Downside is you lose a little bit of capacity in that line because it fills up. It takes up some of the void of the existing line that's there. So that was the second option we considered, and we provided an estimated cost for that. And then the third is to rip it out and replace it all with new PVC pipe. Of course, that's going to be the most expensive option. It's going to give you the longest life. The accepted life of PVC is 40 to 50 years. You know, that's something to consider, that you're not going to have to mess with it for a while. But we discussed all these options with staff, and we're recommending the option one, the point repair option. Of course, council has every power to choose another option, but I think the number one option is probably the best bang for the buck. So your papers is missing an important piece here, but I've got it on the screen there. We've estimated the project cost at $6.4 million. That's with the sewer improvements, which weren't initially budgeted in the bond. There's also the CPS energy gas bit that's not included in that price either, that they're paying for on their own. That also includes some contingency to address items that come up during construction. The budget remaining in the bond is $6.1 million. And that's what's missing from your paper there. So there's a little bit of discrepancy there, but that's kind of made up in that sewer cost. So that's just a thing to consider, for y'all to consider there. Any other issues on the project potentially? We're excavating 30 inches of material out of Ackerman Road, give or take. We're changing grade in a few places, but generally speaking, 30 inches is about as much as we're taking out. We could run across some utility conflicts, whether water services or sewer services, that kind of thing. We've included those items in the bid for the contractor, but we don't know where it's going to happen or if it's going to happen. We have items in as kind of placeholders in case it happens. We have a way to address it, you know, right away in the field. So those kind of issues may arise. They may not. We may just sail right through. But I have enough experience to know that you don't always just sail right through. There's always going to be something that comes up. Timeline. This is important. I don't know why I thought I was done. So I put together a rough timeline here, and this timeline is based on some assumptions. For instance, if the council approves the project to go to bid, I'm assuming that we go to bid in the second week of August. We'll have a 5-week advertising/bid period. We'll have about a week to evaluate the bids once they come in, and that gives us some time to line up with the council meeting on the 23rd. October? No, September. I'm sorry. 23rd of September. And then we'll have to get our ducks in a row for contractor, execute contracts, have a pre-construction meeting, those kind of things. So planning to start construction, if all those dates line up at the beginning of November, we anticipate, again, each stage being 6 months. So that puts our completion at the end of October of 23. 6 months is probably kind of generous, but we have to plan for these kind of days that, you know, that pop up, and, you know, so we build a little bit of time in there. Now, I think that's it. So I'll be happy to answer any questions for you.
Okay. I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am. Didn't we have somebody that wanted to speak before we on this project?
We do, but let me ask my question first. With the construction of this street, the way your diagram states, you've got the two lanes, the bike lane, and then there's space between the bike lane and the curb. Is that correct?
What do you mean?
come back to it.
Or is the bike lane up against the curb?
The bike lane is against the curb, isn't it? So
okay.
that My Little Cartoon may not show it quite well, but it shows a 3/4 of a foot in there, and that's the curb width.
Okay, so that answers question one.
Sure.
All right. Question two, with putting in the size of the sidewalks that we're putting in, how much of the resident's yard is going to be taken?
Everything happens inside the right-of-way. The on city property. I cannot promise that, you know, there's always some yard that the residents maintain that is technically in the right-of-way. Some of that may be affected, but we're not taking any right-of-way. We're keeping everything within. That
okay. I get it. What would you do if you encountered it, taking up some of the resident's yard within the right-of-way and have a sprinkler system?
That's a good question. We'll have to adjust it. And I don't know.
What do you mean when you say you'll have to adjust it?
The contractor, either the contractor will have to move it or, and I don't know how the city has treated this in the past, it may be the resident's responsibility to move it because it's in the right-of-way. Those are those questions that we have to answer as they come up, you know, in the project. But I don't know if there's, you know, agreements or whatever. I don't know that well. But from my experience, either the customer moves it or the contractor is really nice and moves it for them.
Okay.
Hold on. How about, because all the water lines and the meters are right at the curb. You're going to put a sidewalk there. Y'all going to move all that over?
The meters should be moved out of the way towards the property.
Yeah, and originally some of those properties were issued a private shutoff right past the meter. Is that going to happen too?
We should not be, unless the meter has to be moved, we shouldn't be touching the resident side of the meter.
Well, when they originally put those meters in on Ackerman, they put the meter and then they put a shutoff on our side.
On the resident side.
Right. What I'm asking is that what y'all are going to do? Put back what was there.
Oh, yeah, so if the meter gets moved and the shutoff is there, the shutoff will go with it.
I'm not talking about the shutoff on the meter. I'm talking about it. They placed the shutoff away from that meter so the resident could shut off the water without messing with the meter. It's probably 2 feet.
So if I'm understanding your question or the point, you're not going to lose your shutoff valve.
No, I'm not. I'm not talking about that. 2 feet away from that meter shutoff valve, they placed the shutoff valve inside the property line or on the customer side.
Right.
Is that shutoff going to be replaced?
There's not plans to replace the shutoff valves. It will be. It will remain.
That's the way they were done back then.
Right. Excuse me, I was banging the microphone.
Everything should be put back exactly like it is.
Yes, I heard you. I understand that.
And the city shouldn't have to pay for it. We're already paying for it.
Right.
But I don't know if anybody else lives on Ackerman that can attest to that. That they have.
I agree with you.
You're okay.
Somewhere between the main.
It's about a foot, foot or two.
I have a question on...
Well,
hold on.
We're breaking our own rules.
That's my fault. But I was just wondering if I was the only one that had that set up. I knew I wasn't the only one that had that set up. That when they place new meters on there, they place the shutoff to keep people away from shutting it off at the meter. There is a shutoff there in my house, just 2 feet away from the meter.
I would like to give our resident Estrella Martinez
her 3 minutes to speak on this agenda item.
Hi, my name is Andrea Martinez. I'm the business owner on the corner of Ackerman and Old Seguin, the little barber shop on the corner.
Ms. Martinez, can you talk into the mic? Thank you.
I'm the owner of 4507 Ackerman, the barbershop on the corner, and it was brought to my attention on the last city council meeting that we were invited to, I want to say over a year ago. They had another engineer come out and talk. I don't know if it's the same one associated with this engineering company. I still have some questions after the meeting, and I spoke to him directly in regards to this since it's going to impact my business directly. And he brought it to my attention that they're going to put a sidewalk and that they were going to raise the sidewalk and enclose my driveway and only giving me, right now, the entrance of my business, I have about 70 feet. And they were going to raise the, he showed me in the blueprint, they would enclose it, raise the sidewalk, and only leave me a 24-foot entrance access. And I'm wondering, why is that? And is that still in the plans? Because I feel that's going to impact, you know, my parking, access for my customers, entrance, and I want to know why, you know, what's going on with that.
All right. Thank you, Mrs. Martinez, for your your question, and we'll certainly get back to you on that.
Oh, they can't be addressed right now since we are discussing the Ackerman Road project.
Let me just add one thing that is going to happen. Brady is filling in for the main engineer on this project, but we did discuss they're going to make contact with each of those business owners right here at that corner.
Okay.
To discuss the changes in the parking and the driveway entrances so that you all are aware of what they are.
I understand, you know, that there might be changes, but as far as the entrance, I felt like it should be put back the same way that it was, like my entrance. You know, there shouldn't be impact like it closing it. When they redid Ben's Engelman, all the businesses, the sidewalk was put in, but it was left flush with the street where they can still drive in, and it's not enclosing the entrance. And I feel like that's how my business should be left, the same way, you know, where I still have the entrance that I have now and not, you know, made smaller or, you know, changed in any way.
All right, Ms. Martinez, we'll get back to you on that.
Okay.
And to your question about the discussion is with the council and not the public. You signed up for your 3 minutes to speak on the agenda item. So I apologize if you thought that it was a back and forth discussion.
I there's been to a few meetings, so I don't know.
That's okay. We're all learning here. We're all learning. So thank you very much. And somebody will get back to you on that. Do we have any other council members that have any questions on this?
Sir, I've got several questions on this road project. First of all, you're talking about the 30 inches. You're going to remove 30 inches on all the way across the street or just for the drainage?
That number comes from the pavement section. So we have, to go down the list, we have 2 inches of asphalt, type B asphalt, 5 inches of type C asphalt, 13 inches of flex base, and then 10 inches of the line treated subgrade. So I that doesn't really add up to 30, but it's close, and
that's good. I'm okay with that. The other one is, what percent of emulsion is going back on top of this asphalt? Your P2 emulsion. What percent?
That is a really technical question.
I mean, we're going to put 1.4. It's not going to hold no traffic. You know, I need to know what's going on there so it's going to be roadworthy. I'm just not going to, you know, throw something on there and say, okay, it's good. We can't do that. We're going to have roadworthy.
Right. I will be honest with you. I can't quote you that number from my head. But I know that the pavement section was designed by a geotechnical engineer. That they took all into consideration the soil, the existing condition, the traffic loading, all that kind of stuff, and they gave us a pavement design that we're using. I can get back with you.
I appreciate
that. Answer that question.
I appreciate that.
I just don't know it off the top of my head.
Okay. And really one more, and that's as she was saying, entrance. I know there was a problem on the Ben Zingerman project. There was a problem on Hickory Hill. I'd like to see all the entrances to people's properties stay the same. You know, I know that y'all had a lot of issues before I got on council about this. You know, y'all cutting their drives in half. They had a double car garage. They had a double drive. And it got cut down to 8 or 10 feet. You know, it caused problems, yes. And I'd like for y'all to make sure that whatever the citizens have in their drive, it just stays the same.
That's the intent. However, when we are affecting drainage patterns, sometimes there's some cut and fill, and sometimes the driveways have to change a little bit to match that grade.
And there are some differences in the business section right here, and it's because of the ingress and egress and the drainage at that corner, and a couple of places are losing parking spaces, but they've been notified of that.
As long as they know and they're okay, and they're not coming to us later.
Right, and that was the intent with this project, is that what we learned is that we want to go to those people directly and make sure they are informed. Tonight, every resident and business owner on Ackerman received a flyer in the mail to come to this meeting so that they can hear.
Good deal. Deal.
We're trying to learn from history.
And that's all I have. Thank you.
Well, I was going to go to the same place. The people from LaVie are not here, but you're taking probably of their front access off of Ackerman, you're probably taking 60% of their access to parking. And, you know, that's a pretty thriving business there. And I can't quite understand why you can't bring the slope down on the entrance, and then it looks like you put a foot, an inch and a half like you do on Ben Zingerman. Well, you didn't do that project for the drainage. I understand what you're doing, but I don't quite understand why the channeling has to be, because the curbing and everything is there now. If the water doesn't stand, you've got an even flow to the south, and you're still going to take away over half their parking there off of Ackerman.
That's the one that we're...
Right, they scheduled a meeting to go and visit with her again to discuss that, the parking differences, and there was some rationale as to the design, because we also have to do some utility relocates in that area. So,
I believe there's a CPS pole.
Yeah, that has
right
to be moved.
As well, so, it's going to have to move.
Yeah, so technically, kind of the from what I understood, the way it's designed is that the parking lot kind of encroaches into some... utility areas that's going to have to be reconfigured. But they did schedule a meeting to sit down and discuss.
Yeah, on the north end it does, but I'm talking about the south end where, you know, they park on the side of the building and then have the other little business right here. And it's the major part that they're taking is really towards the south.
I don't think so.
But you're going to have, well, if you have a meeting set up, then they should be able to articulate
it's really,
to you.
From what I saw, it's the other side that's affected.
Right.
It's on, on the Seguin Road test?
And I'll apologize. This is one of the details that I'm not intimately familiar with.
You're going to give an overall, not a specific. I get that, okay? But, you know, the thing is that you're going to encounter, and I know these other folks that live on Ackerman, see, there's never been sidewalks before. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, consequently, these people have been maintaining their yards to the curb forever.
Right.
And we, the city, unfortunately, may have set... We stayed with our right-of-way, but instead of going to the backside of the right-of-way for meters, we went to the street side. And that's what they're saying you're encountering. And what every one of them, I think, you're going to encounter, from what I understand, the people I've talked to, is that almost everyone has, I guess you want to call, a private or external extra
right.
cutoff.
Right.
And that was because people would break things. and meters, you know, and it's been maintained forever. And all they're asking is, you know, can it be exactly like it is except moved back?
Yes.
And that's the simplicity.
Yes, and I'm sorry if I never got that answer for you.
Yeah, well, yeah, and I kind of figured you didn't understand. But, yeah, they were put on there so we wouldn't mess with them. You know?
And that's a good thing that you have it.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, and I understand the young lady's problem over there because all her business, it just drives right up front.
They park you on the side and then they park
there, there's no parking on the side
so
for
really,
her business.
Maybe I would like to see what can be done.
Right? Yeah.
Give her the maximum amount of parking that can be allowed.
She may not have the 70 feet, but I wouldn't take
much
from it, you know, because like I said, I've seen her been. I drive by there all the time. They all park right in front.
Yeah.
Well, we're planning to meet with her, and we're going to come to the best solution that we can.
That's what we ask. Is, you know, just the consideration be given, because it is give and take.
Right.
But we understand it's for the betterment of the city and flood control and all these things, because it does pond, unfortunately, on that side.
That's also a big deal. Well, the parking is also a big deal, too.
You go water skiing through there, pretty much right now.
Right.
But, again, also the main concern is, like I say, these people... gentleman, Salazar, lives there, and his yard is beautiful, right up to the curb line. So, you know, but a sidewalk has been needed for like 100 years because we have people that walk out here all the time. And the gentleman sitting back here, I know his yard, I've seen it, and it goes right to the curb also, and it's maintained.
Right.
So, you know, it's, again, give and take, but as long as our citizens... feel like, and they need a fair shake. If it's been there, it probably should go back like it is.
Understand.
Okay,
sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Mayor, can I ask one question?
Yeah. I'm here.
Sir, back to the sewer.
Yes, sir.
You know, y'all, Sam, maybe we just need to fix the parts that are messed up. How long do you predict that this, you said it's clay to pipe, right? How long do you expect it to last? I hate to put a new road down and have to go in and dig it up.
I'm with you. So, again, we have viewed all of the video through that line, and we picked out those areas that appear to be cracked,
right.
Or punched through by root, or you know anything like that. Clay pipe is good as long as you don't mess with it, and we're repairing those pieces that have been damaged. The intact pipe, it could be good for another 20, 25 years. The repair pieces will be good because they're gonna be PVC. But you know, I don't have a way to tell you with certainty that it's gonna be 25 years. It could be 5. It could be.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This is y'all suggesting to repair, and I know it's to save money, but you know, we gotta look at the options. You know.
Personally, the only option that I probably would not recommend is number 2, the slip lining, because you don't fix your low points with slip lining. Everything goes back.
It goes the way it's already set.
The way it is, right? There's no moving it up or down, so I think you can not consider that one. But the first one or the third one, you know, I think are very, very viable options.
Okay.
You're absolutely going to get more life out of the third one.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it.
One more question.
All right.
So the sleeve in the sewer is not going to do what we need it to do.
Right. So there's
no.
Two issues on the sewer. There is the degradation of the line.
Right.
And there's also those low points in the
right.
line. So if you sleeve it, slip line it, those low points are going to stay. Because everything
right.
goes in exactly how it is. It just puts a new
right.
Inside diameter on that pipe. So any low points are going to stay.
So it's the little repairs or all of it?
Yes, ma'am. That's really the viable option.
And then when the ground shifts and breaks the clay again, we have to dig up the street.
That is entirely possible. Yes.
Okie dokie.
I think we all know we've got some shifty ground. And
yes, we do.
Okay, and that's entirely possible.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Are there any more questions?
I'm happy to answer whatever you got.
What action do we need to take on this?
So there are two. We need you to
first action on which sewer option to include, and then after you've done that, you need to approve the affirmative road design plan.
I'm trying to get back to the options.
Coming in with the second one.
The second one is to approve the affirmative road design plan. And they need to approve so that we can go ahead and put it out to bid.
So that's two separate motions.
I can't see approving this plan without knowing what they're going to do for the citizens and the drive, and you know, there's a lot of things that, especially me, this being my first meeting about this, and I haven't seen the contract or nothing.
Well, there's no contract.
I know, but I'm telling you, you got to see the plans.
Why don't you ask about the bid?
Right. But I still need to see the plans that they're going to put out to bid, Mike.
We've already held this up for a year.
Well, I understand that you have, but I haven't. I'm just not here. But
you're
not going to tell you.
We're not at a 10. Let's bring it down to a 5. I agree with Council Member Martin that we knew about not approving the design. But I think we can move ahead with the sewer option.
That's for the plans.
Yeah,
that's in the plans.
I guess if you wanted to bring, I mean, if you have 100% plans that it's huge, that file transfer or something, if y'all want to read through the entire plan document, you're welcome to do that. But, I mean, to make a decision on the sewer and not move forward on the plan, it's really
it doesn't. It doesn't do anything for us.
Oh, we waited.
Mayor, may I ask? With the later discussion of the American Rescue Plan, where we could possibly apply that money to the sewer repair, the whole sewer repair of Ackerman, it would cover it. We could do that.
I understand that, but we have other things that we need to use that money on, and I do not see using that whole entire chunk of money we get to put on one thing. Well, I mean, we've got a lot of band-aids that we've been covering that we need to, you know, suffice with that. Some of it, you know, may be able to go toward that, but I just don't see all of it going to that. I mean, I certainly don't want to delay this project any more than it is. With that said, I will entertain a motion.
Can we do the motion, both of them at the same time?
No.
Okay. Well, I'll give you a motion that we go ahead and just do plan number one for the sewer.
Second.
We have a motion on the table to select sewer option one by Councilmember Salazar and seconded by Councilmember Grant. City Secretary, call roll.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Breyer?
No.
No.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Asagaka?
Yes.
Mayor Aldridge?
Yes.
And then I'll make the other motion that we accept the plan.
Second.
We have a motion on the table by Councilmember Salazar, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Grant. I apologize.
It's all right. Don't worry about it.
To accept the design plan for the Ackerman Road project. City Secretary, please call roll.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Breyer?
Yes.
Councilmember Street?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
No.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Asagaka?
Yes.
Mayor Aldridge?
Yes. So both motions passed.
appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for your time tonight, and be safe in your travels.
Thank you, ma'am.
Also, try to get. But I still think he was going to bring some answers to Councilmember Martin. Right.
That's all my concern. I want, you know.
Yeah,
I want everything to stay the same. As long as it does and everybody's happy, I'm happy.
Well, all the items that we brought up, I think we need answers for, even including the meter and the shutoffs and all that.
You do have the specs for the excavation and the return and the thickness and everything. That's one, I know that's one small part, and I believe that's what Councilman Martin is looking for.
Yeah.
So if you could bring those specs just to the excavation and then the reclamation and the repaving.
Yeah, we can have, you know, I don't mind the water meter being in the middle of the sidewalk. You know, that's fine. Like you said, the cutoff is over there.
I think you're maintaining about what you want is the finished project, what we're going to drive on.
Yeah.
That's what he wants to look at.
Right.
All right, moving on.
Thank you very much.
A, discussion and possible action to consider joint funding with Alamo Area Municipal Housing Association doing business as Alamo Community Group for Explorer Street and Telestar Drive.
I have a question.
Really? They put it on there? Nobody's here.
Right. They requested
to see. What was that? Can we ask each other questions about it?
Didn't they back out of the...
There's an email that says that.
Whatever they wanted to do?
That's why I'm confused.
Are we going to give them a chance to come back?
For what?
To.
Okay.
Well, then we don't even need to table it.
Okay, I will entertain a motion to table this item.
How about postpone? Because we table it, it just goes to the next meeting.
Okay, I will entertain a motion to postpone.
Mayor, make a motion we postpone this item. Second.
We have a motion on the table by Mayor Pro Tem Grant and seconded by Councilmember Salazar to postpone 8B. City Secretary, please call roll.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Abdulaka?
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Ryder?
Yes.
Councilmember Street?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Mayor Aldrich?
Yes. 8B passes to postpone. Moving on to 8C, discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2021-898, authorizing the city to enter an agreement for ambulance EMS billing services and authorizing the mayor or the city manager to execute such agreement. This is the first reading. May I ask a question? Which company are we currently with?
Specialized Building.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
now that I have my paperwork together. You should have received some information from the Ambulance Billing Systems, ABS Systems, and Ms. Carrillo is here if you have questions from that company as well. The contract that we spoke about last time that this was on the agenda was still 5%. She has included the cost of Angel Track electronic patient care reporting, and that would just be a single paper mm-hmm. That had that information, like an email from her. Mm-hmm. There would be a fee of $5.99 per month plus the 5% for the billing for 1 year and then 7% for the following years after that, for 9% total on a monthly basis for the ePCR system and the billing.
Run those numbers again.
The without the percentage, it would be $5.99 a month for the electronic patient care reporting software of Angel Track, which is a cost of $7,200 a year, and a 5% for the billing rate for the first year and 7% for the following year after that, or a 9% for it all starting
across the board.
Gotcha.
Now I got you. Okay.
Without the $5.99 per month being added, it's all the 9%.
So it would be an extra 4% of all the income for this year.
Yes.
Wasn't there an additional 14% of something? There were two things we were going to pay for.
I believe that's specialized billing.
Yes. Yeah, that was another program that we needed to put in. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It would be the same across the board. At the beginning, it would be 5% for the first year if you choose that, and 7% after that.
Right.
The billing, the ePCR system, it's just not the ePCR. You would own this. This would be City of Kirby's. I will not own any of this. It's also, whether they choose to use it or not, it has dispatch, HR, it has the billing. It's everything included in one. So if we do this, we will be doing it from there, and you'll be able to see everything from that system.
And that's at 9%. That's at 9% straight across.
Or the $5.99 a month.
Or
plus
$5.99.
In the next year, 7. Yes, sir.
Well, that's about
so
a difference of about a cent and a half. Okay, I got you.
Because it's $7,200 for it,
right,
for the year.
Right.
So you divide it up by 12, and
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
excuse me. Also, checked in with STRAC. It was mentioned in the last meeting that STRAC could offer it to us for free or very little. It would be $800 a year for the electronic patient care reporting system that's through STRAC. So that should be in your packet as well.
Is that comparable to what they're offering?
This is what we're using right now.
Okay.
It's just not as secured as what we are using right now.
What's not secure?
Yeah.
The electronic patient care reporting.
The Angel thing?
I could work for another agency, sign in, and have access to the records that are here in Kirby.
Okay.
Is it open? It's an open.
It's an open audience.
There you go.
Totally.
Yes.
Well, then why?
It was brought up, so I did look into the cost of it for y'all's information.
Okay.
I did get a quote from Zoll as well, and the initial fee for Zoll with their new electronic reporting software is $13,570 for the first right off the bat, and then it is $2,714 every year after that, plus the mobile data hotspots we would have to have for the computers at $29.99 per month, and that is the city cost right now for mobile hotspots.
That's ongoing.
That is ongoing.
Two hotspots, isn't it?
It would have to be, right now it would be four hotspots.
Four.
because I have two units in the county, two units in the city.
Oh.
Come October, that would change to just two units.
Okay, I knew there was two there somewhere, so it would go back.
Yes, sir. It would have to decrease as long as we can decrease that hot spot as we don't need it. But that would be something that the city would have to decide as they have hot spots now.
So it's 120 now, and it would be 60. And $29.99, you said?
$29.99 per month.
Yeah, so that's right now, four would be 120, two would be 60.
Yes.
Okay,
right.
Chief, I wanted to ask you, okay, so you said that the new system would not be secure because somebody can log in and they could see every single record.
That
if this gets logged into that software, is that correct?
Through the STRAC software,
through
yes.
The STRAC, okay.
Can you explain what STRAC is and why that will be?
Yeah, STRAC is our area regional medical committee for South Texas. They have this program. They put it out to all the agencies that are part of STRAC. Each agency has the ability to either go with their own or go with the system. The reason it is open because the system is widely available, for the entire region. So somebody that works for San Antonio, if they work for ESC7, they would have the ability to have the same access for San Antonio, even though they work for a different agency for
okay,
part-time.
Let me ask you a question on that. What is the harm in that, considering that firemen and police are all constrained to HIPAA?
The harm in that is if I'm at a different agency with a different partner, they shouldn't have the ability to see the patients that live here in Kirby.
Why would they want to?
Yeah.
Well, all you have to do is type in the wrong social, the wrong name. It could pull it up.
Okay.
I'm
confused between... I'm sorry.
Well, good.
I was confused because you got STRAC. That's the $800 one?
Yes, ma'am.
And then Angel, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. This one, STRAC, is less secure, let's say. I mean, I can't get into it, but another firefighter or EMT could get into it, correct?
Right.
And then you've got Angel, which is secure to whoever is in Angel, or?
I have not done a lot of research on the Angel. I've never used it. We use the Zoll electronic patient care report right now, the RescueNet, that STRAC offers.
Right.
The only thing is we get it through specialized billing, which is secured to where if I work for another agency that is with specialized billing, I have a completely different login
right
to where I wouldn't have access to my...
So they have secured it through that. Okay.
They have secured it.
But if it's not Susan. Through somebody else, then it wouldn't be as secure, correct?
Susan, you can ask the lady.
Yes.
Yeah.
Angel Track is its own, so it's secure as many times as he gives out the login. So it's only in his department, nobody else's.
Okay. I just want to be comparing apples and apples instead of apples and oranges.
Correct.
Okay.
So it's got one side is an isolated entry terminal and the other is open to all terminals.
It's not necessarily a terminal, but, you know, like the STRAC, if I'm connected to the Wi-Fi, it's connected to the server.
Oh, I see how it works. I got it.
Yes.
When you said, well, I got it. Okay.
Whereas the Zoll would be connected to the Wi-Fi
right
all the time. That's why the hotspots would have to be needed. It's an internet-based system.
Gotcha.
So if I'm, you know, at LaVia's here and I have a chest pain patient, in order to access that reporting software, I have to have an internet-based system.
Would you still need the hotspot with the Angel?
Yeah. Okay.
The reason is that it goes off what he's using. So, like, if you're using your cell phone, then it'll go off of that. But if he's using iPad, then it'll go off his own personal.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
But I can tell you, iPad... Toughbooks have been dropped. and they have survived falls, slides on driveways. They are built for this industry.
By
the Caltech books. Yep. Yes, ma'am. iPads. I've dropped my iPad a couple of times just being at work or at home, and I've broken it. It's not designed for our type of industry.
As far as the issue about the open records, dealing with the Angel, right? Angel. Okay. Do you guys do audits every now and then? And so, for instance, I'm saying, for instance, if you're worried about another agency or someone else going into another patient's file, I guess, per se, would you guys do an audit every now and then? I'm just asking because in my realm, like with legal, for instance, for BAMC, what we would do every now and then, like two, three times a year, we just randomly pick a patient and we would do an audit to see who went in that patient's file.
That's right, yes.
To find out. And then we would actually go to that person and be like, hey, you know, so, exactly.
So, in this recording, it gives you, at the end, it'll tell you which EMT, which login you can use, at what time, everything.
Oh, so it tracks just like, okay, just like a normal law enforcement does.
Okay, great.
Everyone.
And the rescue net that we currently use with specialized billing does the exact same thing. When I go and do QA, look at the reports, and send it back for corrections, it logs that I've logged in, I went through the QA process, and I sent it back for whatever reason. It also logs when billing touches it and sends it to billing. It logs anybody who touches that report. So our program currently does that right now.
It tracks any and all?
Yes. Any questions for ABS at this time? All right. The next one I have is Emergicon, and I don't believe anybody from Emergicon is here. So I'm going to kind of briefly go over the proposal, and it's going to be the one that says Emergicon has our logo on the front. And towards the back end of it,
had to read the whole thing.
Mergicon is going to collect 10% of cash collections for EMS billing services. Hardware and software is up to us to purchase, and so that takes us back to the ZOLL, the whichever one we want to get, ESO or STRAC. So that takes us back to having to pay for that out of a different fund, but emergent care is 10%.
Straight across.
Straight across. And they do not do the cost reporting. That is something that the city would have to do themselves. They would provide the numbers that we need, but they will not do it for us.
We have to correlate.
That, yeah, we either have to contract out to another agency to do that, or, you know, Tina would have to do a majority of it.
And going back to the first one, what was the, on the cost report amount?
Cost report was the 5% the first year, 7% the year after that.
But 9% for the everything else?
Right.
Yes. Correct?
Yes.
Well, 9% if you got the software thing,
or.
Too.
Right.
Yeah.
If you went with Angel Staffing,
no.
Yeah. Any questions over Mergicon that I can try to answer for y'all? Next one would be fire recovery. Anybody from fire recovery here? Okay.
You paid for this for these people?
I'm sorry?
I said, you get paid for this by these people that you're representing.
I've invited everybody here. I have ABS here and specialized billing. I know them. So, fire recovery is $22.99 per month or per invoice or 9.95% with paying up to $13,570. For the software for a year. after the software is either paid off or we choose to go with our own software and do it our own, it is 5.5% without the software.
Without the software?
Without software.
So how do you make it work?
We would have to purchase our own at that point, and we own it.
About how many invoices do you get a month?
In 2020, we did 523 transports out of roughly about 900 calls.
So 500 divided by 12?
Yes, ma'am.
So that's some.
I mean, I know we do, some months are heavier than others.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we're talking maybe 25, 30 transports a month.
Okay. Is that the only thing that generates an invoice? And if there's no transport, does it still generate an invoice?
Anytime we generate a report, typically generates an invoice.
Okay.
Doesn't mean it's always billable or it gets billed.
Okay.
We've gone out to individuals' homes, did a lift assist, that generates a report.
Okay. But not an invoice.
Could not tell you 100% whether an invoice is generated off of every report or not.
Okay. Because that could play with the numbers.
I'm sorry?
That could play with the numbers in an instance.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so it would make your averages a lot different.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Specialized billing. Karen Lackey is here from Specialized Billing to answer any questions you have about that. Let's see. Basically, it is you should have three proposals. One is the 14% for the cost reporting. Just EMS billing is 7%. That's just the billing across the board. And then if we continue with her patient care reporting software and billing, it is 7% for billing, 4% for the patient care report, which is the 11%.
What about the software?
That includes the software. It's
4%.
The RescueNet Zoe that we currently use now, that is secured. And it does not need mobile hotspots in order to operate.
How much is the hotspot?
$29.99 a month. And I would need four of them.
Well, until October.
Till October, yes, ma'am.
If the city had broadband, would you need a hotspot?
It would have to be pretty much secured.
Okay.
Just
curious.
My tablet is the only one that touches it.
Okay.
Because if anybody is able to get on it.
Broadband is too accessible, honestly.
What if you connect it through a VPN? A virtual private network?
As long as it's mobile, that I can connect at somebody's home,
yeah,
I'm good with that. But I did not look at the cost of that because I know the cost is expensive for VPNs.
Okay, so this one, you would not need any hotspots.
No, ma'am. I can do everything I need to do on the way to the hospital, and then when I get back to the station, once it's connected to the server at the station, it connects, and I can save it to the main server at Specialized Billing, and I don't see it again until it is in the QA process or gets kicked back from billing for a reason.
Okay, you said it's 14% with the cost reporting?
Cost reporting is 14%.
Oh, and
that's
what the other people didn't do.
So is the ambulance? I always draw a blank on this. Ambulance supplemental cost reporting. The federal government gives the state of Texas X amount of funds for indigent, non-payable calls. It goes to hospitals and EMS agencies. So if my ambulance makes a call for a lift assist, we typically do not bill for that. That goes into the cost reporting, so I can get paid through the government for that call.
Okay.
A couple years ago, it brought a brand new ambulance. We made that large amount that we were able to purchase an ambulance for it.
So in other words, for all of those kind of calls, they get 14% of that, what you get from the federal government?
The overall.
They get 14%.
Plus, I'm trying to figure out.
Of the total report.
For example,
right.
We got $240,000
that
year.
Right.
They get 14%.
The aggregate
right.
amount.
Right. Okay. What does ABS get for that?
They would get the 5%, right?
And then 7% the following year.
So you don't have...
It's 14%,
yeah.
And then ABS is running 5%.
And then
first year. For the first year. What's the second year?
And that's for the cost reporting, too? Okay. I knew there was a second figure that I was missing something on. Okay, thank you.
I can let you know, like, specialized billing, even though, yes, it's been 14%, they typically only charge us 11%.
Do they
what's in the contract?
That y'all only charge 11% of the cost reporting, even though it's been 14%. Contract says 14, but I don't know about the 14. I don't know about this one. I'm billing you for everything else. Monthly.
So you only participate in the aggregate. Good Lord, I can't say the word aggregate amount one time a year, right? At 14.
For the cost reporting, yes.
Okay.
It's in the contract, but she says she doesn't actually charge us that.
That's what.
Which is why I'm confused.
Yes.
Why is it in the contract at 14 and you only do 11?
When we started to do the cost report, when we told her. My presentation to y'all is breaking down exactly what the EPCR does, what the difference between Stripe. There's a few things I need to clarify for William on that, the security. Our EPCR and the differences, then I explain the billing, what we do, and then we go into the cost report. So when we started doing the cost report back in 2013, City of Kirkwood, we got eligible in 2013 to do the cost report. The first 2 years, we could not get anybody to do the work within the city that needed to be done. What goes on this cost report for the EMS and the fire department is everything I tell them, basically, a $3 million station down to a 1 cent screwdriver. That's what's going to go on this cost report. All of the insurance, all of the payroll, all of the supplies, all of the equipment. Everything goes on it. There are hours. Everything is scrapped. We could not get anybody to do it. So we took it over. We had for the past year, thank God, Tina. We worked with her. She gets us all the data we need. Does she have time to do the whole entire thing? No, she does not. She can get us the data that we need. We fill it out. We do the audits, put the state on it, and we take it from there. So... But in the contract, it was going to be 14%. We don't do it. We bill it out at 11%. But the contract says 14, but I've never charged 14%.
Okay.
So the cost report is like what you said. It is a federal grant. Money's up there. It's an 11-15 waiver is what it is. All hospitals participate in it. For an ambulance provided, you have to be a government entity in order to participate.
Okay.
So, all the uninsured transports that are done, patients meet HIV care policy, which you have. Those patients, when they do not pay their bill, all of the bill, that balance goes on it. The cost report pays a percentage between what it costs to do business and what we make for this failure.
Mm-hmm.
The lower your percentage, the more money you make. Our percentage is about 26% of doing business. That is how well the finances are kept for the fire department. 2 years ago, the state put out an email that 70% of the departments were on it, that they had over 100 to 125% of a cost-to-charge ratio. That came down to the billables. One thing about our billables is we do itemized billing. We bill for over 175 items and equipment that is done in the back of the units to the patients. If you're going to buy it, the patient's going to use it, there is no difference between you and the hospital.
a dentist office, surgical facility, even your vet is going to charge you for all this stuff. We itemize bill. It could be 30 items billable on that patient, depends on what they did. We do not do just base rate mileage, and that's what most of all these billing services do. Base rate mileage should not be more real quick. Even our electronic funds. We also appeal them. We watch those filing deadlines. We also watch deductibles.
Yeah, I read your proposal.
My job is to make sure I make you money. And if I hold that claim for 6 months because the patient has a $15,000 out of pocket, my job is to make sure I get you part of that money. And that claim does not go to that out of pocket deductible, and you're going to end up with nothing.
Okay.
That is why I hold those claims. Now, when it comes to the EPCR, I have the Zola EPCR. It is programmed for our department. Now, the difference, when I came in the door, Kirby was with Strat. There were some programming issues that caused the department, and I showed them that you could see patient data across their system for every department in the region that is using that software. You can see all the patients. You can pull them up. HIPAA is need to know. It's not the screw's business to know other patients in other departments. Ours is locked down to where I'm going to use Kirby. I'm going to use Lilly and Lockhart. Okay? Both services have paid have medics. They go back and forth. The top books remain. If a crew member from the city of Luling opens a call or works on a call while he's on shift at Luling for a Lockhart patient, it's going to tell Lockhart he just created a violation. One, he's doing the job for being paid by somebody else doing the job that he should be, but it's also tracking it. This program will track to the point, every single data point, every single key that these guys touch. He calls me and tells me, hey, I have a tough book down. I look at it, I say, they blew the battery. Who did it? I'm able to log into the database and tell them who was last amount of time, last person who logged in, and who let the battery die. My comment to him usually is, I bet you can check the cell phone, it's fully charged. And my software gets it. So, the software is designed for what this city needed. Y'all do a lot of treatment code transports out in the county. As you can see by the email I sent last year, y'all collected $83,000 off the treatment code transports. Other billing services will not bill for those. Crews do not like it. Patient information. We have to dig and find it. And you can see how well we done it, and we found it.
So it's 11% without a charge for the software.
No. It is 7% without the charge of the patient care reporting. It is 11% combined.
Right. It's 11% with everything.
Everything that is
right.
Across the board.
Okay.
So I am very thankful for y'all to put William in this position. I've worked with him for 11 years, and I told him I was going to call him out tonight. Because they usually do. But William has always picked up the pieces of that EMS and me doing my job when we have had nobody in there reviewing calls and it's backlogged in a couple of months. William got in there and he did it. We worked together, we got it cleared out together, but William has always been the person who's cleaned up the pieces there. And thank y'all for giving him to me to finally be the chief. It's been wonderful. But y'all have any other questions?
Thank you.
Just for some little housekeeping in y'all's packet as well, those are my four bids that were submitted. There was one from Quick Med Claims, and you received an email from that unfortunately, because they were doing some house cleaning, if you will, they are holding onboarding smaller services such as ourselves. So they were not willing to give us a bid on that. Texas EMS billing, I reached out several times, and as of the 19th of July, there was still no contact from them. So I actually went out for six proposals and got four.
Okay.
choose which one out of all the bids that you've received. Which one do you prefer?
I prefer specialized billing, personally. And I think ABS for putting their bid in, or everybody for putting their bid in. Specialized billing has been, you know, working with us in and out for years. I can tell you there's been times I've been able to call Karen at 9 o'clock at night when I have a crew that has lost the report. She, from home, logs in, gets that report back. So, I mean, the work relationship that we have, I mean, I can't contest that 11% or 7%.
I'm just having trouble with the 7,200. I can't tell how much percent, what the percentage is difference. You know what I mean? The 7% with ABS plus the 7,200, I don't know what percentage that would fall as. Whereas on specialized billing, it's a 4% thing.
Right.
So
it would go from
compare.
5% to 9%.
Right. Okay.
And that includes the patient care reporting software.
Okay. So doesn't matter if it's 2 years or 3 years, it'll be 9%, period. Okay. Okay. Right. Right. Okay. Thank you for clarifying. I was too many numbers floating around.
No worries.
Okay.
Specialized billing, would you come down to 9%?
On the cost report.
ABS, am I correct? Okay. Specialized billing was just talking about itemized billing. Do you do the same?
As long as the office lists it out, we do the billing for you. If you list every single item and give me a dollar amount, we bill for that. And according to the guidelines, then we bill according to that. It's Medicare state, you know, everything needs to be bundled. We will bundle it as they state.
But not much more.
We still bill out. Now, Medicare and Medicaid have an allowed amount for items that are billable. So, whether it be any supply, if we bill it, they will either deny it or pay according to their guidelines.
So you would come down to 9% on the cost reporting?
Yes, sir.
And would you be willing to change that in the contract? Would you be willing to change that in the contract?
Oh, absolutely. You can change it. I don't have a problem with it.
Okay.
And what Ms. Cox is bringing up to Madam Mayor is the billables and the cost for those billables.
Those are all the things that you bill for.
Okay. Can you make it as a copy? I would like to entertain a motion.
Go ahead, Mayor.
Mayor, after all the discussion and the Chief's recommendation, I make a motion we stay with specialized billing.
I second.
Sorry. I'm going to need you to read out the ordinance number.
Ooh.
And
oh dear. And the amount.
You don't have to read out. I need you to say you're making a motion to approve that ordinance number and enter into a contract with specialized billing.
Okay.
Mayor, make a motion that we accept ordinance number 02021-898, authorizing the city to enter into an agreement for the ambulance and EMS billing services, and authorizing the mayor or the city manager to execute such agreement with specialized billing.
I second.
We have a motion on the table by Mayor Pro Tem Grant to accept ordinance number 02021-898, authorizing the city to enter an agreement with specialized billing, authorizing the mayor or the city manager to execute such agreement. City manager, please call roll.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant.
Yes, ma'am.
Don't we have discussion?
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Do we have to specify anything?
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Bryan?
Yes.
Councilmember Street?
Yes.
Mayor Aldridge?
Yes. Okay, motion passes. We are staying with specialized billing at 9% reporting.
Okay.
Moving on to 8D, discussion and possible action on potential changes to ordinance number 2018-847, including a revision to sewer service charges and providing for a penalty.
So if you all remember, we talked about this a few meetings back. Our council board members coming up, we had some recommended changes. A couple of council members gave us some recommended changes. When we left that meeting, council was asked to send me a final thought they had on this ordinance. And so that we could get it to the city attorney and actually go ahead and bring it back for a first and second reading. So I wanted to bring it back tonight and get some final feedback on that.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, council members. Thank you for hearing this. The section 4, the termination of service due to non-payment, should read, in my opinion, the customers whose accounts remain unpaid on the 27th of any given month shall have their services terminated on the Wednesday next, following the 27th of any given month at 9 o'clock instead of 10 o'clock in the morning. In such event, charges for administering the water services shall be as follows. To continue services that have been placed on the list for termination due to non-payment, a charge of $25 will be added to the amount due, and the account must be paid in full between the hours of 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, prior to the services being maintained. We also recommend unauthorized use of water. This is under Section F. Reconnection fee of $80 instead of $50 have been recommended where applicable, where the meter has been removed. And this is what our utility service fees currently are. $750 for the meter fee, $162 for water impact fee, and that has been since 1990, and $633.60 for the sewer impact fee. Again, this fee has been since 1990. In our opinion, this is what our water service fee should be for a 5/8 meter, and that would be a flow impact fee of $11.88, the system development impact fee of $8.55, the water supply impact fee of $2,706. This is what our sewer service fees should look like. The collection component fee should be $520. The treatment component fee should be $651. And the service fee should be $633.60.
Excuse me.
Yes, ma'am.
Am I missing a page? Are you reading off of something that we have?
No, we got it. We got it.
Where is it?
We had it before.
This was presented, if I remember right, about 2 months ago.
Okay.
Yeah, that's been great.
Right after the summary sheet.
Sorry, I'm... No, that's not it.
Under AD, it's in the back.
Okay, D is in the back. Okay.
Matter of fact, it's got before AD. Paid before AD.
Thanks.
So we're updating for almost, what, 20 years?
Yes, sir. The next page would be the attachment A. The other thing that we would like to change would be the commercial, apartment, mobile home, or bulk, what is known as bulk water. When they come and pick up the water meter from the city, the enterprises that pick it up, currently we are only charging $15, and we would like to raise that fee, the base fee, and that's all this is just a base fee, to $50 from $15.
Where's the 15?
That's what we're currently charging today, ma'am.
I understand. Where is it?
It's about halfway down on the page that says attachment. At the top, under customer class, you have residential rates. About midway in the page, it says commercial, apartment, mobile home, bulk.
All right.
Okay. Just under that, it says water. And then just under the water says base.
Right.
And to the right of that says $15.
Got it. I found it.
Yes, ma'am.
You're bouncing around on the pages. Sorry. Trying to follow you. I'm on your side. And what do you want it to be?
50. 50. 50 instead of 15.
That's from 1990 also, correct?
Sir, I'm not going to.
Oh, really? Okay.
Just for the bulk water. Yes, ma'am. For companies like Unite, Google Fiber, there have been many companies, AT&T, some of their subs have been in here, not AT&T themselves because it's been all their subs. So some of these subs come in and they want to pick up a meter, they want to buy water from us, which, please don't get me wrong, I'm very, very happy to be able to sell the water to them. All I'm asking is that it'll help the city overall with a very small increase in fees to these companies that are coming in buying the water from us to go for your bulk water from $15 to a $50 fee. Just because if they come in and they keep the meter for 2 months and all they use is 800 gallons, we're still at our $15 fee. So all I'm asking is just a slight increase in the fee to help the city so that the city doesn't lose money. Not that we're out here trying to gouge the consumer or the businesses, just we want to make sure we lose as little money as possible.
Well, that's about half of what San Antonio gets for theirs.
Yes, sir.
Moni, didn't we decide here a while back on the reconnection fee? I think it was at $75 earlier, and then we asked for it to be $100 to reconnect?
That was the recommendation that you had made, sir, but there was no finalization.
Okay.
And that's what brought me back here again today, ladies and gentlemen, is so that we can get some of these numbers finalized and some of this stuff addressed, and we can go on down the road. But, yes, Mike, to answer your question succinctly, sir, that is what you recommended.
So what do you want the reconnect fee? What do you think it should be?
$80.
Well, I don't have everything all in one place. That's why I'm asking. I'm trying to get a synopsis here.
It's on the computer.
All in one place? Really? It's on one page?
All right, now.
It's not.
Let's bring this back in, and let's be civil to one another.
I'm being civil. I'm asking.
I understand. Do we have any more questions?
You ready for a motion?
Yep.
I will entertain a motion.
Do we have a list?
Ask, is there any more discussion?
So we won't have a vote tonight, but we need to hear on the final.
Oh, you want a general consensus?
Then we have to put it into the ordinance and bring it back for a first and second reading. But again, we want final numbers so that when we send this out to pay the city attorney,
it's done.
You come back, you're comfortable with voting on those fees.
What I'm comfortable with what Mike said.
Exactly.
And what the numbers
are. Yeah, we're comfortable with what the numbers he gave us.
But what did you say about the fee for unauthorized use?
The unauthorized use fee, ma'am?
Of the water, yeah.
You good? I thought he said something about unauthorized
use. Yeah, I thought he did. Yeah,
no, I didn't speak to theft of services at all, ma'am.
On F, on that fee, that is unauthorized use of water. If you read it,
I think it should be higher if it's unauthorized connection.
Well, that's why I said 100 in the last time with 80.
We didn't have any consensus, so we're trying to get that today. So
well,
you want it to be 100?
Make it 100.
Okay, so the way I look at it, if they reconnected and it's unauthorized, I think it should be more than 100 because it's stealing water. They're breaking the law.
Well, they're going to get prosecuted for that. The fine's going to come with that.
I mean, for unauthorized use of water, I'm okay with 100.
Yeah. Yep. Let's keep it 100.
Like, you know, I'm with you, Sylvia. I think I should unauthorized use of water, $200.
Well, there it is. And I'm saying, we deal with this every month. Well, I can't afford to pay that. My water bill because I didn't have a water bill money. You want me to pay $200 to reconnect it?
Then why did you go ahead and steal it? It's $200.
Well, I don't have water for babies and they need milk and
I put people in jail like that every day.
Well, I can tell you here. So when you create these fees, you know, because you establish these fees and we enforce them.
So when somebody I'm just curious about so let's say someone turns on their, okay, they didn't pay the bill, then they go turn on their water themselves. Now they come up here and they're like, I really need help. Like, anybody, you guys can work with me. Do you guys work with them with that? Let's say the fee is $100 plus whatever they owe for the water. Would you guys work with them or no?
We try to work with people once or twice.
Right.
So is that turn into
I see it turn back on as soon as they leave.
Because I do believe that. But I'm just saying, like, let's say it was 200. You would, if this is like the first.
If that situation, though, if it's going to be, they built up to this.
Okay.
If you look at it, it talks about, if you look at the actual ordinance existing, it said it's cheap at the recommendation. This is a situation where the meter has been.
Yes.
So we already pulled your meter. You already either turned it on more than once, you locked it, you unlocked it.
Right.
Now we got to pull your meter because we don't trust you anymore.
Reoccurring.
If you want to come back and reinstall your meter, we're charging $50 currently. If you want to recommend $200, then they pay us $200 for us to put it back. So they can't turn the water back on now because they don't even have a meter.
Oh, okay. So I'm sorry. This has nothing to do like this.
This is beyond that.
This is way beyond that.
Okay.
Oh, okay. $200.
This is way beyond. I mean, I'm responsible.
Okay.
This isn't a 2-minute thing. This is a reinstall the mirror.
Customer. Just as.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I get that now.
You good with 200?
Yes, sir.
Let's do it.
It is.
Well, the same people are the same people that are not paying their bills.
Correct.
Very rarely do they get one that they do not work with, that have kids and stuff, and that they're in a bind.
You kind of have to make somebody not be able to have
right,
water.
Right,
you gotta be
but these are the ones that where you took their meter, that's an ongoing issue. So if they want their meter
okay.
back, $200.
Right.
Sorry, I
need
some
clarity.
No, I wasn't
sure.
Okay.
Is that where you wanted it at 75 on the tampering?
If you all are comfortable with charging somebody more than the $75 for them going out and turning their own water on, then I'm comfortable that as well. I want to do everything I can to make sure that the residents have access to water with a reasonable amount of money coming out of their pocket, but yet I feel as though it's important for the city as a whole so that you don't go out and turn your own water on and you say, well, okay, it's only $75, whatever, I don't care. So I want everybody to be aware that when you go out and turn your own water on, that you're going to have to pay for it.
Well, if somebody comes in at after 4 o'clock on Friday to pay that, what they owe, and their water's off, can they get their water turned back on before Monday?
Yes, ma'am.
You can.
I don't know, because it says it won't happen. I think I'm not clear what the sign says out there, but it's something about 4 o'clock is the cutoff time to pay your bill.
To start,
okay. I just want to make sure that, you know, somebody's not left hanging, and then by that same measure, they go out and turn the water on because they paid their bill, and then they get busted for it.
Right, and that's when you have to call in the on-call phones.
Okay. That's what I was just checking. Okay, no problem.
Mike, when y'all turn the meter off, y'all take a reading, right?
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, so you know when it's turned.
Right. Yes, sir. When we do a cutoff, we write the meter reading down. When we go back out, if you've come and you've paid on your bill, we turn the water back on, and again, we take another reading. So I personally am only going to speak for myself, where I have seen where a customer has turned the water back on, and the number is different from when it was when I turned it off.
Right.
Prior to that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So that's where the theft of services, in my opinion, come into play.
Yeah, it is.
$100 fine for that. Instead of $80. My opinion. $100 instead of $80.
Yep, I go with that. The point is, you don't want to break it with what I'm saying. Well, no, the thing is, if you don't, it depends on how they value things. And $20 sometimes can make a lot of difference. $80 is that, but you make it $100. So, $100 sounds like twice as much to sell a lot of people.
Scary, yeah. More scary.
Exactly.
I think we either need to keep it at $80 or $85 for a reconnection fee. I think $100
is
too much.
This is not for a reconnection. This is, well, it is, but I'm talking about tampering. He turned it off. If somebody goes right back and turns it on and uses whatever they need until the next morning to turn it off again.
That's when it's been removed.
That's when it's been removed.
This one is $75
right.
To turn it back.
Right. No, this is when they cut it off the first time and you go back out there and you
Cut it off and as soon as they leave, they turn it back on.
Right.
Yeah, if they've used it in the time between when you turned it off and when you went back in to turn it on, that they should get busted.
And basically, that's theft. And again, that's theft. Anytime the utility is interrupted, service is interrupted by the city, and you restore that on your own, you've stolen either electricity or you've stolen water.
We got that point. Yes. Got that. Okay, so right now it's at 80.
Right, and we said 100.
We said 100.
Wait a minute. I'm looking at, so that's the reconnection. If the water meter's been removed, it's 50. I thought we were at 200 on that one, and the one above it is 75. That's if they've used the water since he turned it off and
so
goes back to turn it on. It's 75.
We want to change the 75 to 100.
Works for me.
Right.
For tampering.
Yeah.
Yes.
She wants
that's
to
with
the
meter's still there.
Right.
Yes,
but
the meter's still
there.
Yes.
Correct.
And it's 200 if the meter's not there, and they have to put it back in.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, we're good.
Now, the one thing that I glossed over, ladies and gentlemen, and please, I apologize. I forgot about the new commercial accounts. If I remember correctly, and please forgive me, it's been a few months, but as I recall, the original ordinance said new commercial accounts were $150. I believe that they should be $300 for your new commercial account. I'm sorry, sir?
We are not the city of San Antonio.
What I'm trying to say is, and it doesn't make any difference who we are or aren't, it's still water is water.
I understand.
Okay, and water costs.
It's not compared to San Antonio.
Well, it's not comparing. I'm saying it's what they are.
But,
And the little place down the road, unfortunately, is way past that. We're behind is what I'm trying to say.
I understand.
So, let's agree with him and go with the $300.
Yes.
Thank you all very much for your time this evening. I appreciate it, and y'all have a great night.
Thank you, Mike.
Well, we did not resolve this down here at the bottom.
But he wants to walk away and go. Bye-bye.
And I want to finish the ordinance so we can shed it off.
Yeah, so you can get it off. What else do you need? What do we move?
I'm sorry, ma'am.
Now that you're down here talking about the water service needs for those different five meters, those are
grand. Oh, that's right.
Yes. Okay. The reason that this is an issue is once again, we haven't done anything with those meter impact fees, the water service impact fees, since about 1990. And in order for us to maintain our current level of service to new customers as well as to old customers, we need to increase our rates because the people that do business with us, the SAWS entity that Councilmember Grant spoke of, they're increasing their fees, and their fees have been increasing steadily.
But sir.
We have continued to absorb those losses as the new businesses and new houses have come into play. So all I'm trying to do here is to bring things up to the current time frame with respect to the dollar amount, ma'am. Sir.
Mike, while you're there, before you leave. Hey, have y'all got your new radios yet?
No, sir.
Mr. Councilmember Martin, that is way off.
Well, I had to kiss you while he was
there. I am not allowing that. I'm sorry.
Well, is that one of those disregard what he said things?
Yes, disregard what he just said.
Sure, that's going to work.
I am not going to be here till midnight, people. Please.
Commercial water, you were saying 300. Okay, from 150 to 300. I actually think 300 is low.
It's not. It might be a little bit low, ma'am, but it's not unreasonable. It's in line with some of the other commercial accounts, as I recall, that our ordinance talks about. The difference is that some of the newer commercial accounts have very small. Garbage cans, and I know that's not the correct terminology, the big dumpsters. Some of them have small dumpsters and some have larger dumpsters. And when the new commercial accounts come into play, they can come in and not pay as much as what some of the older ones are paying. And so, therefore, it's lost revenue on our part.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to backtrack. So, lost revenue, what do you mean by that? I must miss something.
When a new commercial account comes into play,
okay,
and if we don't charge the minimum deposit, and for whatever reason the business is not successful, they walk away and they don't pay us what they owe us.
Right.
So, therefore, it has the potential to cost the city revenue.
He's playing ahead of the curve, in other words. He's putting it up there. If they walk away in the first, say, 30 days, then it's what he is covered. So we don't lose money to the fact that we didn't take it up the deposit, so to speak.
So I think that 300 for that is well enough.
So the 300, that's a deposit.
Correct. It's like a deposit. You want to use that terminology is what it is.
Okay.
A non-refundable. And if they walk out the first 30 to 25 days or so, then we don't lose any money. It's too much pressure.
It is refundable unless they walk away.
They walk away. What I'm saying, if they walk away, it's not.
So right now, it's $100 for residential deposits and $100 for commercial deposits.
Excuse me.
So typically, your commercial bills are significantly higher. So if they walk away and all we get to keep is $100, and their bill was $800, then we have to put out law, got to send them the collection. Now, I thought about whether or not it should be based on the size of the commercial entity. I mean, should the small mom and pop pay the same as the bigger business? But
business. I mean, a big business, a small business can use as much water as a big business can.
So it's a balance. I think 300 is reasonable. It's better than 100. They should be paying more than the residents should be paying more.
Obviously, yeah, their consumption probably is going to be more. And please, ladies and gentlemen, this is not a fee. All this is that we're requiring or requesting is nothing more than a deposit.
Right.
They will get that money refunded should they continue to maintain services.
Mm-hmm. Once they pay their bill and they maintain, but if they walk, we get it.
Yes, sir.
And it all says what we want. Hopefully.
Yes, sir.
So you want a $300 deposit for
commercial.
Yes, right. Ma'am.
That works.
It does.
All right, ready. Can we let him go now?
Yeah. I would like to talk more people. Yes, sir.
Wait for me outside.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. Opening up AE. Update and discussion on 2021 July 4th fireworks in the park celebration.
Okay, well, that will be very brief. I just wanted to give a final recap on how we did for the 4th of July. So we actually brought in, as far as contributions and revenue, $19,670.
Woohoo!
And we spent $14,363.48. So we made a profit of $5,306.52. Parking, we actually parked 400 vehicles, so that brought in $2,000. We ended up with four vendors, so that gave us $220. And then everything else were sponsorship donations. I just think, again, we're publicly thanking all of our sponsors, AGP, Paid Paving, our RGP, which is our IT consultant, my Barber Law Offices, M&S Engineering, D&K Lawn Services, who I don't even know. They mailed us a sponsorship check, so if anybody had that connection, thank you. We really appreciate it. Jennifer Happ from Mark Wortham Insurance, who does our employee insurance services, mainly in the NAC, our city attorney's office, Sheriff's Banking Trust, for public services, CPS Energy, over all of our event sponsors. So again, we really appreciate it. And then what our expenses were the fireworks display, which was $12,000, our DJ, which was $800, all the signs and banners, $402, and the portable restrooms, $563.07, our light towers, or the parking lot area, were $310, and we had some temporary workers to help us with parking vehicles through an agency, and that was $288.41. So, I thought we did pretty well.
I would say we did. Thank you, Alicia.
So, and the money that, so the profit main that can go back into the city's budget is the general fund. So, actually, what we do is in our budget, we have an expenditure line item for $20,000. That's kind of just a goal every year. And then, so that expenditure is already in our budget. But if we make $20,000 in sponsorship, then it offsets it. So, because we made almost that, really didn't spend any of what we budgeted. So yeah, it just stays in your general fund.
For the future, I've just thrown this out there. Possibly maybe say, I don't know, maybe next year or something. So I know we got a great turnout. It's a great turnout. I'm not saying that. But maybe we could say, if I'm thinking tying in with 4th of July, first responders, maybe we can get more people out and we can use that money we make to go towards this. Is that possible? To go towards our first responders and first. Like they're
firefighters.
Like the firefighters and the police. Do you get what I'm saying? Like maybe that be part of it.
Well, you have so much that circulates in the general fund, and it's kind of like a reciprocating situation.
More like a kind of like a fundraiser.
Right. Well, we've got the volunteer fire department coming back.
We do.
You can't have the money.
Well, that's what I would like to see come back, and that's
okay. I've got a problem.
Okay. They are back. There's a committee already.
Ideas right now.
Okay.
They're going to do it under their own. But this money will go in our general fund.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
Okay. Are there any more discussion on this?
No.
All right. Moving on to 8F. Discussion of possible action on appointing up to four alternate members to the Building and Standards Commission. We do have one applicant.
I have a question.
Certainly.
Why are there alternates on this commission and there's not alternates on anything else?
So the Building Standards Commission is a charter commission, and in an ordinance it talks about how many members and alternates they're required to have, because they actually have hearing and they operate as a quasi-judicial body. So if we schedule a hearing and let's say you're five members, only three of them are available to attend, then an alternate automatically can't participate. And that prevents them from not having to cancel the meeting and they publish and they post it.
Okay. And that's different from P&Z?
It's very different.
Because it's a commission too. That's why I'm asking.
You can participate if we can't get an alternate member, right?
No, sir.
I thought that's what I read in the packet that was sent me today.
No.
I can participate as the building inspector section where it talks about presenting the testimony. I can do that, but I can't participate as a member of the vote.
From the board, okay.
Yeah.
So.
Can you tell me how to pronounce your name?
Jacob Persima.
Thank you. Jacob, I see you're an Aggie. Would you like to get up and introduce yourself?
It's San Antonio, Texas A&M.
I'm a sixth-year school teacher. I'm from Crockett, Boulder. Moved here when I was 2 years old. I just moved to Kirby, Texas about 2 weeks ago, so really enjoying it.
Welcome to Kirby.
Thank you. I'm a six-year school teacher. I've worked at the City Hall of San Antonio as a political consultant for 5 years. So I've worked with university organizations, nonprofit organizations, and I just want to use my expertise to help our Kirby teachers.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Is there a requirement for how long you had to be here?
No.
I don't know. I'm asking.
No.
Okay.
Please say his name. I make a motion to accept this gentleman, but I don't want to put you.
Kasiba.
Are there any other questions or discussion regarding this appointment?
No, ma'am.
Take the bottom one as well.
Give me time to request for it.
Okay.
Okay, thank you for applying.
Yes. I will entertain a motion.
I'll
make a motion.
Jacob Kasiba. I make a motion we accept this gentleman to the board.
We have a motion on the table by Mayor Pro Tem Grant and seconded by Councilmember Apodaca to accept the application from Jacob Kasiba as an alternate to the Building and Standards Commission. City Secretary, please call roll.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Ryder?
Yes.
Councilmember Street?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Mayor Aldrich?
Yes. Jacob, welcome to the Building of
Standards.
Thank you.
What school you teach at? What school do you teach at?
All right, moving on to AG, discussion and possible action on appointment of a member to the Beautification and Recycle Committee. AH, discussion and possible action on reappointing Julie Hinojosa and Clay McBee to the Planning and Zoning Commission.
That would be a 2-year term.
They expire in August, so we'll
be reappointing them both to August. And they both want to
be appointed?
Discussion?
They've been showing up at the meeting?
Yes.
I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I make a motion that we accept Julie Hinojosa and Clay McBee to remain on the Planning and Zoning Commission. Two more years, expiring August 2023.
Second. Okay, we have a motion on the table by Councilmember Apodaca and seconded by Councilmember Greider to accept the reappointment of Julie Hinojosa and Clay McBee to the Planning and Zoning Commission for the next term of 2 years. City Secretary, please call roll.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Greider?
Yes.
Councilmember Street?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant? Yes. Mayor Aldridge? Yes. The reappointment terms for Julie Hinojosa and Clement B. passes. 8I, update, discussion, and possible action on American Rescue Plan Act Fund.
And the way the distribution is working right now is that entities that are over 50,000 counties and cities are receiving their money directly from the federal government. Anybody that's under a 50,000 population has to get it from their state. So, like last meeting, we had that letter from our county judge that he sent to Governor Abbott trying to urge him to do the application so that the smaller municipalities can get their allocation. So, we haven't received that yet, but Kirby's allocation is for $1,901,953. We're supposed to get 50% of that initially, and then get 50% of that 12 months later. So, in kind of looking at the finances of what staff would be recommending, is that out of the first year allocation, the $915,976, that we would split that in half between the general fund and the water fund, so that you all can focus on, you know, whatever projects or things you want to fund within those separately. And then do the same thing when we get the remaining money. That way both funds would have an equal distribution.
But this is based on when we get the money.
Right.
Yeah, based on. Yeah.
And so what we would like for you all to do tonight is to provide some direction on how you would like to spend the money so that when we do get it, we won't, you know, be behind the eight ball. We'll have some, you know, ideas already that we can move forward on. We've already talked to our auditors about how this needs to be set up. They recommended that we create, you know, within more funds, you have your revenue line item and you have your expenditure line item. And then you just take for whatever those projects are out of those line items and track them separately. So rather than identify each project in the budget, you would just track this is what we spend on. And they did say it is going to be audited, so they said make sure we keep very good books because you have until December 31st of 2024 to spend all of it. And at that time, they'll probably come back and ask for a single audit.
Is there a list of items that we can and cannot use this money for?
Yes. So the major direction about or overall direction about what you can spend the money on, and those are so you can address. So number one is that just supporting public health response, and that talks about, you know, mitigating the impact of COVID-19. And there are different services and programs related to mitigating the spread that you can use them on. Not necessarily, I think, have to support those. That is an option. The second one is addressing the negative economic impacts caused by the public health emergency. And that's delivering services to families and workers, supporting small businesses, focusing on tourism and travel and the hospitality industry, and then rebuilding public sector. So, like, if we had been hurt in any of those industries, we could use those funds for that. Or we could come up with a small business support program if we felt, you know, Kirby businesses needed help. The third one is serving the hardest hit communities and families. It talks about addressing, you know, health disparities, investing in housing and neighborhood, addressing educational disparities, and promoting healthy childhood environments. And the fourth one is replacing lost public sector revenue. So those were, let's say, if our taxes had been significantly down, sales taxes for us, you know, we don't have any more occupancy taxes, so we won't really hit hard there. Fifth, we can provide premium pay for essential workers, and they define premium pay as at $13 an hour. So that's for several types of employees, nursing homes, hospitals, farm and food production workers, janitors and sanitation workers, truck drivers, childcare workers, social services, human service workers, and I think most importantly for us, your public health and safety staff. And then the next one is investing in water and sewer infrastructure. So anything that supports, you know, clean drinking water or your infrastructure for your water. And then lastly, investing in broadband infrastructure in your community. So I think that the top three that really affect Kirby are going to be the water and sewer, the premium pay for employees, and potentially if we decide to do some type of community program, then
I have a question. I'm sorry. We have to divide it evenly between the water and the general fund, or if we want to hit the sewer?
Yeah, we don't have to divide it evenly. That's just what...
Because sewer comes out of water fund, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, just that was just my recommendation, you know, just so you can get something done with it both.
We have limited things on that list, though, that would come out of the general fund, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Very few things. Right. Would the drainage assessment be able to come out of that?
I do not believe you can pay for assessment. So the way it reads, it has to be
actual doing something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Physical.
But once we got the assessment, whatever they came up with, we could pay for that action, right?
And one thing that I think you should consider, so right now in this current fiscal year budget, we have $250,000 allocated for the Gay Sewer Project, which is an
Well, it's just, we just adjust the budget to take it off.
And how about our wells and repair?
Yeah, that was the second thing that we thought
that's
about. We are
on the list.
Some money for the relining of well 3 right now, which that money is there, and we've already gotten permits, so we want to get started on that. But I think we're going to end up spending more than what we've allocated, so that would be another really good payment for that money.
And that would be for equipment also for the wells, like the generators and all that.
So now that we've already budgeted $70,000 this year, we're going to go ahead and get that generator now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because that's for well 2. That's
right.
And that's with the little building too and everything, right? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we have a generator, but well 3 is offline right now because of the relining and all that.
Okay.
So yeah, we could, if we felt, you know, out of the first year, we could put, you know, $700,000 for water, if that's more the need, but the remaining, that was just an option, if, you know, if you wanted to split it, but you're under before we think about the general.
Okay.
But whatever we decide, if we put so much money here, and so much money in water, and so much money in general fund, it could all, we... It can always be taken out, right?
You can always
renegotiate.
Have you figured out, or have they specified that we can pay the water guys with this?
Tomorrow I'm going to a training session with the Texas City Management Association. They have folks coming in to tell them exactly what we can do.
Okay. You can tell them how essential our water guys are. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like if sanitation and janitors are included, then I would think if you work on your water infrastructure,
that
also
would make sense. If we just divided it for right now,
the way staff said, then once we get real money, real figures in place, then we can amend it.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm, okay.
And you don't even have to find out. Okay, that was just kind of a recommendation.
Okay.
Yeah, but you could say now, just talk about what project you want to go for. And then we can run those numbers and determine, okay, that means this much you can go here.
How much do we need for Gaiety?
$362,000.
And that was probably the contingency, just in case by the time you get it out, it's gone up a little bit.
That's engineering and all? Because don't, man, everybody sometimes, you've got to remember, engineering kills you just with their little bit of that they not moving.
Can we put the fire hydrants on that? Well, maybe we could do 12 this year and then 12 the next half.
TCQ has their rules and regulations. Excuse me, TCQ has their rules and regulations that you must adhere to them.
Right.
They are not going to acquiesce.
And see what all we left.
I don't know.
Okay.
So we've already gone through that about how much the fine might be if we didn't. No sense spending that kind of money. So what are you asking? Just consensus?
He's asking for which projects we would like this money to go towards so they can run some numbers.
That's what I'm saying. I understand.
So Gaiety Sewer at $362,000, the well 3 repairs plus maybe a generator and a shed when it gets up and running, right? No, that was for well 2.
Yeah, well 3 already has a generator.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Well 2.
That was dilapidated and messed up. Okay, sorry. That's why I was confused. Okay. But we still have $45,000 for well 3 repairs. It was on the wish list from Mike.
Oh, that was sediment reclamation. That's right. On Cinderella, wasn't it, or somewhere?
It says well 3 repairs, sediment removal on ground storage and elevated storage tanks. Right.
And you say we can use this on drainage?
Right.
But there's a lot of drainage.
So after they do the assessment.
There's a lot of drainage work needs to be done, especially to the south of the city.
I think that we need to put it toward the Gaiety, well 3, and put the fire hydrants on there.
But that would be just the first year, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And then the second year, we can do some more.
Correct.
And anything we don't spend.
In the water fund the first year.
What?
Is that pretty much?
Yeah.
Really, truly, that's what we do. Because that's our biggest need to be.
Okay, if we do those three things, it's $547,000. So we still got.
All 25 fire hydrants.
Yes, I did the 170.
Okay, so whatever's left should go in the general fund for the essential pay.
There you go. That works.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah. Yes, that works.
It's only another $50,000 what she's asking for. Split.
Yep.
And then when we find something else that we need to do,
we can just amend it.
We can amend it.
And there you go.
I see the zipper machine on here. Is that not?
I put the zipper on there because if we do these other things that would go on the budget, they don't have to go on the budget, which leaves us room to play with $112,000 to get the zipper machine and all the stuff we need to do.
But you can't use those funds on.
Not until we get the other stuff off the budget.
All right. So just wait.
You
so we can't. So this is just
That's a wish. That's just explaining that if we take this $547,000 out of a budget that we want to spend using other money, then we have room for this.
That money for this.
Right, we can't use that money for the zipper.
No,
it doesn't say that. It says, no, that's not what that means.
Okay. All right. Are we good to move on, guys?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I just want to make a quick note for when we're talking about using the rest of the money for the essential pay.
Right.
Now, if we do that, I'm just saying, throwing it out there, if we do that, this money doesn't last forever. Correct?
No.
So if we use that to bump pay, once this money runs out, we want to maintain their pay. So we also need to think about that. So we're going to have to think like 10 steps ahead, I'm just saying. Because I really think, you know, we're going to give somebody some extra money.
It can be retroactive for the year before, for this past year, the way it reads. The essential workers that you're giving them a bump for this past year, and it says retroactive.
I hear what you're saying.
We were saying that from the
beginning. You can do a lump sum, but it's retroactive for this last year. Which is what it—that's what it sounds like they're talking about. Yeah. Right. Yes.
That's what we should do.
So it's just a one time.
So that's an option.
Thank you.
But we need to find out. Yes, if we can pay fire and police and water guys. Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
AJ, discussion and possible action on City of Kirby employee pay scale and compensation.
So this was kind of more of a now focus. We have an existing pay scale that we implemented in 2016 and 2018, and then we froze it at the start of this current fiscal year. So the last pay raise that employees received was 2%, up to 2%. October 1 of 2019. So as we're building this budget now, when we start October 1st, we need to determine what are we going to do going forward about the pay scale. We started working on a revised pay scale where we're trying to get the starting pay increase to at least $12 an hour for fire and public works and $15 an hour. Be, of course, a question about why the difference. Well, when you look at, I can use fire and police as an example, when you look at the hours that they work, the way their hours are set up, it balances out to the same annual pay. Doing 12 for fire with the hours they work, 15 for police with the hours they work. Now, public works, that would be a little bit different. It would be comparable to the 40 hour work week at $12 an hour. But the majority of them, if they have some type of certification, CDL, water license, something, they can be at a higher pay rate than that. And we still want to have the ability to implement more based on higher qualifications and certification. We're certainly talking about the starting pay, at least getting a starting point to work with. So I just kind of want to see that, I mean, we're going to run all of these numbers and bring it to you so you can look at them. Grant the fire ones. Having a discussion about using the ESD and if we were going to keep 12 or 15, and you all decided we wanted 15 personnel. So we've been running, you know, we do $12 an hour for 15 personnel, you know, that's going to cost about $900,000 a year, but we don't have the ESD revenue to cover that. So, you know, these are things to think about when we know we need to do something because our turnover is extremely high. You know, it's high because of pay. The worst position was at all year because of pay. You know, they're out there every day, so we know that we several employees are already at that point. So it wouldn't be everybody, so we need to bring to a cost of what, you know, if we implemented it on everybody that's not there.
I think we should implement it on everyone who's not already there and then leave it there for anyone else who comes in. Yes, because anything less than that, well, I think that's still too low, but anything less than that is just criminal.
How does that work for the existing, like, do you, okay, so this is my thought process. So let's say that I've been working somewhere for 6 years, and somebody comes in brand new, and they start off at this amount. Because I'm 100% there with you. You know what I'm going?
I understand.
We've talked this around before. This is so, you know, when I got to go to Georgia, and it was a request to come up with one at that time, because like there was a concern that every time a person comes on board, you know, the power of him decides I'm going to pay really this much dollar, I'm going to pay Bob this. So we needed to kind of marginalize that and at least have a starting point. And when we did that first pay scale, it was tough because only maybe half of the employees got a bump because those who were already there repeated it, and there was concern that, well, how is that fair? If I've been, you know, patrolling in 3 years, this other person comes in day one and makes the exact same amount that I make. That does create concern. So then it's like, okay, the only way to adjust that is to have a range. And within the range, people can move up based on merit. So it's really two different issues. One of our issues is that our starting pay is that's the one issue. The second issue is that, you know, we have to have some type of range for people to have a place to move up.
Mobility. I mean, because what's the incentive?
Right.
Because I can tell you this for, I mean, I know this city government, but I know federal government. Let's say, for instance, there's a change in pay. Let's say that federal-wide chief is a 12 or whatever. All of a sudden, I'm a 10 or 11. The pay system changes. They're going to bump that chief up automatically to a 13 because they have to balance it out because the chief is not going to be the same equal as her employee. It doesn't work like that. So I didn't see that being an issue. So I think we need to think about that.
Well, I think Monique is right. I think that's some good numbers of 12 and 15. And we'll start with that. Then we'll figure out what we need to do. The rest of this book.
See, the bad thing is that we've fought before is that we've never had the ability to do this. It's always kind of going to a back burner thing. And it's finally going to have to happen. And as much as I hate to say it, the adjustment is not cannot be that big. There could be some in there. That's why they're going to have a scale instead of a set amount. So you have a scale, say, from like 13 to 15. And that person falls into that, okay? And the minimum is, or say, 12 to 15. And the new person falls in at 12, and then an older person will go up a little bit in the scale, but not a lot. But still, they will get something, if that makes sense to you.
Are we still going to give them the yearly 50-cent bump or whatever it is they get for the yearly increase, or is it just merit? Well, that's what I'm asking, because we got the yearly scale, and we didn't get the merit scale, so that's what I'm asking. Well, that's right, but that's what this says. So that's why I want to verify which we're going to do merit or we're going to do the yearly annual.
So my purpose would be merit because
yes,
then it gives an employee an opportunity to work towards something.
Sure.
And it allows employee A to put more effort in to get more or have the ability to get more.
The merit really is, with our situation being a smaller city, is the merit is what brings it forward. But we have people that are loyal to this city, they've stayed here forever. And you have the ones that are looking to get the training and go on. So to me, you know, you get what you do, or that is what you do.
You get what you
earn. You earn what you. Let's start over again. You get what you earn, and you put forth the effort for it. And your loyalty to the city brings it forward.
So,
together, range, yes. It's on merit, right. But using those starting numbers,
we shouldn't start below 12.
With the 12 to 15 and work up those numbers, and let's look in the budget of how much money we have to work with regarding the starting with the 12 to 15.
There you go.
I think starting 15.
For experienced people?
For experienced people, I think that's a little high.
Well, like
Moni
said,
for experience?
Minimum wage may go up $15 an hour here in the next year or two.
Well, you're talking about a police officer. If you come in, you have four different steps.
I'm not talking about fire and police.
Well, she was. That's 15 with police.
Well, starting at 15, yes. But, I mean, like, never mind.
Right
now, the lowest starting
pay we have is $30 to $10. Yes. McDonald's has signed up last
week that just started at $12 an hour. So that
for me,
that's tough.
Okay, but you know
what? McDonald's is a big corporation, and it costs a lot more money than we do.
Well, the Dairy Queen starts at
11. Yeah.
Right here.
That's the tough part with the numbers that I have about what you do is that's sustained.
But we have businesses coming in that are going to be paying more taxes. We're going to get some more revenue in here. I think we can risk the $1.70, whatever it is, $1.60 to do that.
You said the magic word there, too, insurance.
And the retirement.
Yep.
All right. Is there any more discussion on this?
Discussion and possible action on selecting up to 3 council members to attend the Texas Municipal League Conference October 6th through the 8th of 2021 in Houston, Texas.
Yes, I want to go.
So we like you were saying.
I've already picked out the sessions I want to go to.
I'll go.
Okay, so we have interest in Councilmember Street, Councilmember Greider, and Councilmember Apodaca.
And Councilmember Martin.
And Councilmember Martin.
It don't matter to me, whatever we are.
Okay. I certainly am going.
I think that you need to get the more senior people to go with you.
You mean by age?
No. if it went that way, I would have said the other way.
Because I got to be.
Do we need to make it on a motion?
We need to make a motion.
Okay, I'm motion that Mr. Martin, Mrs. Kadaka, and Mrs. Strider go.
You're going to exclude the mayor?
Oh, boy. But you're automatic.
No, only 3 can go.
But she's automatic.
Only 3 can go.
Oh.
Otherwise, it's a quorum.
Only 3?
No. The mayor's automatic. And the city manager. There's 3 people.
The mayor and the city manager are already going.
Right.
See?
So there's 3 more.
3 other council members.
I was right. I was right. So my motion still stands.
Okay, so do we have a second?
Sure.
Okay, we have a motion.
motion on the table from Councilmember Salazar to approve Councilmember Martin, Councilmember Apodaca, and Councilmember Greider to attend TML in Houston October 6th through the 8th of 2021 in Houston, Texas.
How does that work? If, like, you can, so I, since my name is in there, I can vote myself? Like, for my, you know what I mean? Or?
Oh, okay. City Secretary, call roll.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant.
Sure. Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca.
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar.
Yes.
Councilmember Greider.
Yes.
Councilmember Street.
No.
Councilmember Martin.
Yes.
Mayor Aldrich.
Yes.
What?
So what will happen is I will register everyone if you registered and then we'll put the notes on your register and we'll talk about all the travel details at the table.
Okay. 9A, announcement of city events and items of the community from the city manager.
So I'll have to, we pass out a budget calendar to everyone. It's a long page sheet. Some of those things are already passed. Idea of the whole budget season and the important date. It is going to be critical that we have a forum at every budget-related and tax-related council meeting. We have to take record votes on those that will be published. So we're having a special meeting next Thursday, July 29th at 7 p.m. to the tax rate and the budget. So you need at least 4 people here, preferably everyone, but at that point we'll have our proposed tax rates back from the tax office, and you all will vote on what you want us to make our tax rate. And then the other thing is that save the date for National Night Out. That is going to be on Tuesday, October 5th, 6 to 8 p.m. We are in Christian Park, so Crime Control and the police department staff are working on what we have in that. So
we'll just leave that night to go to Houston?
Yeah, so that's what you'll either leave that for, or you'll leave the next for.
I told you. I told her. I told her in the crime prevention meeting. I said, "You're going that night?"
Okay, but are you done?
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to 10A, request by Mayor and Council for items to be placed on future city council agenda and announcement on city events and community interest. Councilmember Salazar.
No, I don't have nothing right now.
Councilmember Greider.
Yes. So, okay, so I had to write down something. So I went on a ride along with Corporal Lackey. And I just want to say I was very impressed with his professionalism. I appreciate all the work of all first responders, and kudos to anyone deciding to be in public service, period. I come from a family of public service. My father was an MP. I get it. I have a state trooper and a warden in my family, so I'm all for law enforcement. Kudos for Corporal Lackey to also for keeping me safe, because I tell you, I was nervous, so I really get, I give them all kudos, you know, because we never know what to expect. They don't know what to expect every time they get out that car, so kudos to them. With that being said, now I noticed some issues, not with the officers, they were great, but the house numbers. So, and this was actually, because I did, you know, talking to some officers, and I noticed myself also, a lot of the residents in Kirby, the numbers are not listed on the mailbox or on the house, so, right, or on the sidewalk. So my thing is, oh, we do have a ordinance.
Yeah, ordinance.
So, because my thing is, like, for any first responder, like, if you call them, if you have an emergency, obviously, you want them to get to you in a timely manner. So if they can't find house number, that's a problem. So if there's an ordinance, can we start writing warnings or something for that?
Let's run an education campaign. You've done this before. Let's try that. Let's run a new education campaign. Right. Ask residents to get involved. Start there.
Well, I mean, okay. Liz, I get what you're saying. Let's start there. But then also, I'm kind of firm, so I would like maybe a time limit. Like, let's get this together, because I'm just saying it's for the officer safety, for first responders across the board safety, period. And then also, I mean, I would assume 99.9% of residents or any sane person, you would want the first responder to get to your house if you call for an emergency. So I would hope you would not be against, any residents would be against house numbers. I mean, that doesn't make sense to me. And if they are, they are...
It's stupid.
Oh, wow. Okay. I mean,
you have
to
support the zipper machine.
Yeah. So, oh, okay. So even like for myself, I thought about it when I went home and I was looking at my house and I was like, I see it on one side of the mailbox and not on the other. And I said to myself, that's what I'm going to do on Saturday. So I put that on the note. To go get some numbers for my house. So, exactly. And reflective would be better. And then also, just the officers did let me know that it also would be best if you did put numbers. Well, now it's an ordinance, so you're supposed to. Yes. If the numbers are on your house, make sure the color is not the same color as your house or your mailbox so they can see it. Yes. You would think that's common sense also, but obviously not. So, you know, let's just get it together, people. Okay. So, the next thing. I believe it's intersection of Hill and Hickory Hill and Taube Street. Oh, hold on, Taube Street. So there was work done previously where there was like a sink. A lady's car had got stuck in the hole. Okay, we all remember that. Okay. So obviously it's sinking again. So just wondering, has the company been contacted who did the repair? Is there a warranty or anything, or is that something that we can fix? Because it's sinking again, and I would hate for somebody else's car to, like, fall in the hole.
Yes, ma'am. The contractor has been contacted, has not been in there yet due to weather. As soon as the weather breaks long enough for a long enough period of time, the contractor will be in there to repair.
It beat you.
Okay.
I did contact the contractor. I believe it was on duty now.
Great. Okay, thank you. And the last thing, I promise, mixed use. So I keep hearing about mixed use, commercial, residential. Well, so this is my thing. I keep hearing about it. Every time we have a meeting, there's a property owner that comes to us, and they're trying to get from commercial to residential or vice versa. So... And this has been going on, from my understanding, for a couple of years now. So why can't we do anything? Is this something that needs to go to, like, an election, or can we vote on it? Because it needs to move forward, because are we going to still have the same conversation about mixed-use, commercial, and residential for, like, the next 10 years?
Well, this is, if you remember, a couple of meetings ago when Ms. Hannah Holston from the Planning and Zoning Commission came and asked council to allocate some money in the budget to bring in a professional to do, like, a workshop with planning and zoning, to talk about mixed use planning and give recommendations of where it should go. So, because they talked it around, but that's not, you know, that's a really detailed thing. They don't have that expertise. So they're wanting a paid professional to come in and evaluate that.
Okay. Well, I just think that we should do that. That should be something on the priority list, because if every meeting that we have, pretty much, it comes about mixed use or commercial. I mean, not talking about mixed use, but commercial, residential. We keep talking about it.
Very.
We need to.
That's what we bring up here.
Do that. Right. Correct. We would need to do that as soon as possible. And that's it. I would just like thank you, everybody, the first responders and the city workers. You guys are great. That's it.
Councilmember Gray.
No, thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Street.
I wanted to thank everybody who came to the town hall last Saturday out at Hugo Lentz Park. We had a nice turnout, and a lot of ideas were kicked around. One of them was they were asking about the dogs running loose in the city and why nothing gets done about them. I could not tell them why, other than the fact that the shelter is full. And I just direct them to animal control, but, you know, even then, they're concerned. How do you know they're dangerous until they bite somebody?
Well, that's part of what they were doing. So if our shelter is 100% full, we can't pick up, you know,
right.
The three little dogs running through the park. They usually run right on through
Yes.
Well, if I come across a stray dog and it's growling and barking at me, it's dangerous.
Well,
that's true.
Yes.
When you open the door, you're going to jump in.
I know. That was just one of the things that came up. Also, we're planning another town hall on August the 5th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Hugo Lenz Park. We'll be cooking hot dogs and having chips and drinks and probably some cupcakes or something. So everybody's welcome to come and chat with me and Councilman Martin, and somebody else may show up. You never know. But please come and tell us your concerns, and we'll bring them. And everybody be safe out there. Thank you.
Councilmember Osaka.
I think I have more of a question than anything else. So if a homeowner has an overgrown bush that's blocking your view when you come up to a stop sign, can the neighbors go and cut it? If the house is vacant, can the neighbors go and cut it and not get in trouble? The house is vacant, and I've tried to get hold of the owner, and I haven't been able to. And it's on the corner of Kirby Drive and Vinecrest.
Yes, it is.
The house right there on the corner, there's a bush almost to the back of the property line, and it's actually on Kirby Drive. And it's blocking. You have to literally pull out into the street to see if anybody's coming from the right. Okay. That's all I have.
Councilmember Martin.
Mayor, I have a few items. I talked to you a couple weeks ago or a couple council meetings ago about an update with the Parks and Rec Foundation. I think we need to put this on the agenda and bring it forward because we need funding for our pool. We need funding for our tennis court, you know, and some other issues. And I think the sooner we can get this rolling, the sooner maybe we can get help, you know, with grants or whatever. And plus get it out there to let people know we're looking for committee members. And that's all I have on that one. Mayor, can we make it a foundation instead of a committee? Why not?
Well,
we're not going to be able to get funded then. We need 501c. So I'm saying we got a foundation. Anyway, the next one, the senior center is having a luau tomorrow. Norma wants to invite everyone to come eat lunch. From 11 to what time, Norma? 1?
11:30
to 12.
What are we eating?
It's hot luck, so whatever. Okay, Sylvia knows. Throw the pig and pineapple and stuff.
Having no tacos.
Yeah, everybody's welcome. Staff, fire, police, public works, y'all come please and eat. Last Wednesday night, I went on a ride along with KPD, and those guys aren't good, they're great. I couldn't be more proud of our police department. There were two of them, they were busy all night long. We got an arrest, we got a stolen vehicle off the street, and lots of tickets. But, they're great. We had trouble. They had trouble. because they couldn't get a canine unit for a search. They had a hard time getting a female cop for a search. But I guess it all got taken care of later in the day, right? I saw something else going on that day, same house. But anyway, Cardona, they talk so highly of you. They're so happy of whatever you implemented into this police department. And I like that. That's a sign of great leadership, and I appreciate it. And I have utmost respect for all your people, all of our city employees, whether it's staff, public works, fire, you know, EMS. I appreciate all of y'all. And the last thing, one more, is I think Mike answered it a while ago. Repairs to the roads that AT&T has caused running the fiber optic. Are we responsible for that, or are they responsible for it?
I'm sorry, sir. I didn't hear the first part.
The repairs to the road that AT&T has caused running these fiber optics?
I'm not aware that AT&T has damaged any of our roads.
Well, there's one lady came and complained that Michael Collins and Alan Shepard. And she said they dug a hole or whatever, and they just put three pieces of asphalt back in the hole.
That's probably where they were looking for a water or gas line.
Maybe yeah.
They were potholing.
Yeah,
that's what that is.
So I'm not aware of any specific pothole that they've done.
Well,
but they found it, so they did patch it.
Well, they put the asphalt back in.
I'm sorry, sir?
It's the way that the citizen said, they just threw the asphalt back in the hole.
Okay.
They damaged it right there at the corner of her house. It's on Michael Collins and Alan Shepard.
Okay, I'll look into that, sir.
Yeah, I told her I'd ask. You know, she comes, you know, complaining about it. So, it's a lady that has a lot of power here. She's an election judge, so, you know, we got to make those people happy. Nah, I'm just kidding. That's all I got.
Thank you, Chuck. I don't have a lot, but. From the last meeting, I forgot to do something that I should have done, and I apologize. I wanted to thank Councilmember Street for attending the TML luncheon in my absence. City Manager nor I was able to attend that, and Councilmember Street was able to attend to represent our city. One thing that I have noticed that it has become a very sore spot, and it's at the top of my list, and I don't know what we can do about it. I mean, we finally got the city of San Antonio to do away with the donation collection at the Family Dollar. Now we got one at the Diadem Food Mart, which people have dumped clothes. It's rained. Everything's ruined. It's horrible. It is a horrible eyesight. I don't know what people are thinking by just... If you want to donate something, you put it in the vehicle, the box. Not sitting on the outside. Is there something we can do about that? We can't remove it. It's on private property.
All we can do is we require the property owners. They're responsible for it. It's just a mess, so they can be, you know, held accountable aside for it being a mess, which is how we got rid of a couple of other locations. So maybe. This new location will get tired of having to go out there and clean it up. They'll decide to move it.
But on top of that, I would like to thank everybody for coming out. Thank you for staying. We haven't been here till 10 o'clock in a long time, so meeting adjourned. Be safe going home.